Good evening and welcome along. It's that time of week again, 2 hours live rugby league debate right here on Proper Sport. Looking back at a weekend that has seen the Leeds Rhinos slip perilously close to the bottom four in Super League after the Dragons kept their top eight hopes alive. There's a big win for the Castleford Tigers, who beat the Wigan Warriors 19 points to 18. Darryl Powell delighted with his side's second-half performance. Big win for Wakefield, who battered the hapless Widnes Vikings, who now are confirmed to the middle eight semi-qualifiers. Big win for England over New Zealand in Denver. Forget the crowd. I thought it looked great on the TV. We'll have a chat, I'm sure, about that. And Gary Schofield still without a major trophy win in his career after Leeds Rhinos PDRL team were beaten at the weekend. Controversially, Sinfield penalised for dissent in the PDRL game. Schofield done for dissent. Outrageous behaviour from you, legend. There were first two penalties given against you and me. We're an outrage. It is Rugby League on Proper Sports. Matt Wilson, Phil Kaplan, Richard Shawright and Gary Schofield. I'd like to personally thank all 12,000 of the people that have publicly ridiculed me on Twitter. That is much appreciated, by the way, after I got steamrolled at the end by the Warrington Wolves. But I think we had a good time, Gary and I, playing for the Leeds PDRL, and hopefully we'll get the chance to do it again soon. But, Scoit, we need to have a word with our colleagues, Laurel and Hardy here, who were involved in the commentary. We'll be getting stuck into them, Scoy. Don't worry, their time will come. This is Rugby League on Proper Sport.
You're listening to Rugby League on Proper Sport.
Pound Shop, Baz and Tez, thank you very much.
Pound Shop? You overpaid there. Right, what's occurring, legend? Did you enjoy... How's the body? That's question numero uno. How's the body?
Yeah, the top half's okay, to be honest with you. Oh, having said that, you know, the number one from the Warrington side elbowed me in the chest. So that's a little bit sore, not too much, but the legs are stinging and a bit of a calf strain, to be honest with you, from there. But apart from that, mate, I really enjoyed it. And let's say, before the game started, and I mentioned it, I was really looking forward to being in the dressing room, see what the sort of build-up the lads did from there. As soon as I walked through the gates again at AB Sharman, it just... It just sends the blood rolling, doesn't it? You know, I was up in the Lewis Jones suite again with Phil and all the sponsors speaking before in the dressing room, and the game, it never let me down. You know, the commitment, what everybody showed. I know it's part of disabled rugby league, but there is nothing given. There is absolutely nothing given. Some of the lads with the brain injuries and the lads who were missing limbs, i.e. not just from the legs, but the one-armed lads from there, and the skill factor, the defence commitment. I tell you what, mate, it was really, really enjoyable. And if I'm honest with you, I'm not so sure I should say this, but I can't wait to do it again.
If selected.
Well, the worrying thing is, I've been asked, so I'm sure you'll be getting asked again. It was great fun. Lots of people have watched it on Twitter. But yeah, I just need to pick the lads up, because they were getting ripped into you and I, Scott, every opportunity. And especially when I got smashed by that big lad, Mr. El, is it El Kelly? Who just basically ran straight over the top of me. I'm like a speed bump. I slowed him down a little bit, but not a lot.
But Mark, did you not listen to the legend who keeps telling you, listen, don't go to the big man.
In the middle of the field and just waving.
Well,
through,
listen,
can I?
I told you, because it was great after my grandkids were there, and after the game, what have I told you before? Defensive wise, make no more than six tackles. So don't put yourself in that position first.
So you've got five still to make if you play again.
Well, I made two tackles, and I made one on Andrew Hill, and I made one on that number one. So I made two tackles, and after my grandkids were there, and it's the first time I've seen Grandad play, to be honest with you. And after Isaac, who's only five, he said, "Do you know what, Grandad? You're right about tackling. You don't like doing it, do you?" So I tell you what, he's pretty smart as well. But Mark, listen, I keep telling you, do not put yourself in position from there. Anyone that got a bum top, and I tell you what, it's a beauty though. And all you 12,000 people who have ridiculed Mark Wilson, well done, because now he knows how I feel every week.
Great occasion, lads. Yeah. Phil, you were there. Obviously, you're part of the foundation anyway, aren't you? But heartwarming, I think. A lot of people I know were going, hang on, that ain't what I thought that was going to be. Mm. And it is... We've just been having a look back at some of the footage now, haven't we? Some of the tackles that went in, there were it was good.
If you think it's anything other than recognisable rugby league, forget it. It is the real deal. There is courage, obviously. But when the game starts, you are watching bona fide rugby league. And I just think everyone who was there, the feedback that there's been is that they want more of it. They want to see more games. They want to be part of occasions like that. They want to fate the guys that play. I think the ability to have able-bodied facilitators of the calibre of, obviously, the two of you, Barry McDermott, who came out of retirement, thoroughly enjoyed himself, Sean Briscoe, who bizarrely went on and played another 80 minutes in a Legends game straight afterwards. That's some commitment. I just think it's brilliant. It's got everything we admire about this sport. Make no mistake, one of the reasons Warrington won is they had two guys playing who had exceptional pace. Whatever else they can or can't do in their lives, they were fantastic. The fullback who scored a hat-trick and the winger who travels from Devon just to train with Warrington.
Scored
two tries and kicked all the goals, but he comes up to every training session from Devon because he's so keen to be a part of it. Sam Zeller, who scored two tries for Leeds, one of which I believe you may have put him
I might have done an assist.
Northamptonshire County Rugby Union player who again heard that there was a disability rugby league when he could no longer play at that level, travels up to training from Northamptonshire. It's a fantastic innovation for rugby league. This has been a real heartwarming weekend. I know that most of the show last week we're inevitably talking about things off the field, and we had Andrew Chalmers with us and Mark Sawyer, and they were talking about potential division and civil war and all the things off the field that detract from what we sometimes take for granted on the field. But what a weekend we've had. You know, we've had international games in both hemispheres. We've had the quality of state of origin. We've had some really close and exciting Super League games. Championship, we still don't know who the top four are going to be. We've had a PDRL game. We've had a Legends game. We've had more women's games. It's been a fantastic weekend for actually playing the sport this weekend.
It has indeed. We'll talk about the main event. But thanks to everyone that came along. If you do see the footage, share it, retweet. There's some great stories coming out now about the people involved. Some worrying stories as well. Michael Carter saying that the RFL trying to cut his funding, apparently.
I think we need more details of, because this is the way the game moves forward.
Yeah.
We were talking afterwards about, it's a very different audience. There are some absolute diehard that would go and watch their team play whatever jersey they were wearing. But there's bringing new people to the sport, young people. There's a real vibrancy on the stands and new sponsors. There's different corporate partners before a game. You know, there's banks and there's solicitors who want to get involved to put something back into society, which they feel as though it's more of a commercial relationship with a Super League team. This is corporate social responsibility, where you can actually be seen to be putting something back into the community. And it's the same with the women's game as well. It's new, different audiences. And that links into Denver, which we no doubt we'll talk about. And the sport can't afford to turn this down.
How many clubs have we got playing PDL?
We've got four at the moment.
Right, so from the experience where I had on Saturday, Phil, it's quite simple. Any club, if anybody from, you know, who got the disability, if they want to go to Cass or go to Wakefield or Wigan or Widnes, whoever got these sides, and if anybody's interested in approaching your clubs, hey, listen, fellas, take it on board, because it's really, really exciting. As you mentioned there, Phil, it's a new dimension, again, a new area where we could attract different sponsors, maybe big sponsors, because, you know, they like to get behind people, you know, from a point of view with charities and all this sort of thing. But, well, it's not a charity when they're playing out there, I can reassure you. But again, we could get different people involved. So if these people approach your club, I'll tell you what, take it on board, because it is a success and it's enjoyable.
I think the other thing is, and you experienced it at first hand, is it's that dressing room camaraderie.
Absolutely.
That it doesn't really matter what level you've played at before. It's that, now, the brotherhood before you go out. It's you know, some people are quiet, some are hyping it up. You know, Simon Brown apparently is quite a stirring guy before you go out with things that he says. And I just think that you can't beat that. And to be able to offer that experience to guys that wouldn't otherwise have had it, yeah, that's all part of it as
well. It's the first time I've ever experienced it. There were pizzas in the dressing room after.
Oh yeah, that's what they do these days. That's sports science.
Yeah, sports science, pizzas.
So you've rubbish sports science. It's pizza after
my mucker on my right hand side here, he in his own little corner, I think there was about 14 different pizzas in there. My own little mucker on the right hand side here was in the corner just thinking, you're not having any of these, lads. I'm loving this. I think it took about an hour and a half to get changed. But again, it was just a new experience, and there were no ice baths, just a gallon and a half from me and my muck on the right hand side, and absolutely loved it.
And it's the first time you've worn a rhino shirt.
Yeah.
which great is, pride. It's all part of it.
Great
isn't it?
Pride. I loved it, honestly. Absolutely loved it. And as I say, whether I should say it or not, but I have said it now. I can't wait for the next one.
Good stuff. Looking forward to it. Great development. Rich is here, who put the boot in at the weekend. You all right, Rich?
I think Leeds are playing
well.
I'll
put you down for next time.
Yeah? I can't play. I've got a broken ankle.
Well, you can play because you've got a broken ankle.
We'll get you some red shorts on. Yeah. No one can tackle you then.
Also, Captain's, where we all bandage on your knee bandage, you could put some red shorts on also. Hey, old Dick and Liddy, or old Ollie and Hardy, whatever you want to call them. Hey, you're all right ripping into the boys.
It was a good weekend, wasn't it? We come into this studio a lot and it's all and being annoyed about stuff, but we're in a good mood. No, listen to this. We're in a good mood today. It was.
I don't think the commentary was harsh, was it? I think we just told it as we saw it.
That's what we're pitting, isn't it? That's what you see, yeah.
Well, there's got to be a bit of balance, so Scoy and I'll do the next game and you two can play. We'll move on. Thanks everyone at Leeds for letting us have a crack at it. I look forward to it. If you haven't seen the game, it is on the Facebook page, isn't it? And I know there's going to be a lot of clips. There's some great tries, some great rugby.
I think the other thing to say is there's a trophy at stake as well.
Don't mention trophies, please.
As soon as he walked into the corporate and went, if there's a trophy, I should declare myself unfit.
Well, even Barry Mack, before the game started, he got asked a question. He said, well, we're not going to win today because we've got Scoy on our side. You know, he don't win any trophies. And
I can certainly say that the Warrington lads are... The very first game that was ever played was between Warrington and Leeds. That trophy is inaugurated to commemorate that game. And they were at home and they deeply wanted that. And it meant everything to them. And they deserved it. And they took it away on their bus. But there now needs to be a third game between the teams to make it a series.
Can we just wrap up the disciplinary side of things? Because Gary Schofield, you were a disgrace on Saturday. You got penalised for mouthing off to the referee. Now, this PDRL game, at the time, we were actually playing in a non-competitive part of the game because one young lad, was he 3-4 years old?
Mm-hmm.
Came on, had a go with his heroes, and you were abusing the referee. You're a disgrace.
I asked the questions to the referee. He said I touched the ball and gave six again, and I never touched the ball.
So I didn't steal it, and I got penalised.
Am I not allowed to ask a simple question in nice, simple words, referee? I didn't. Took that, sir, but you know, I forgot the rule there with that youngster who was on him. He couldn't score any tries in 5 minutes, and I said, literally, we had the overlap, but we never passed the ball. I said, what's up with you? We could have scored a try, passed the ball, and everybody went, Scoey, nobody can score any tries. I forgot the rules, mate.
When's your case?
That's just being competitive, isn't it? But the referee, he got the call wrong, and I tell you what, he didn't like me when I played. He was one of the officials in nowadays, so he didn't like me as it was.
We came out of the changing room. Scoey's first comment was, "Oh God, not him."
Imagine if it had been any of them. It
he didn't
been
like
the
me. And Barry Mack went inside and went, "Yeah, Scoey, nobody likes you. Never mind the officials."
Barry exercised his right to be a standoff in a props body as well. I think he thoroughly enjoyed himself.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah.
But everybody did. Everybody had an absolute ball, and particularly those watching. So, you know, we cannot commend this enough. If you've got the chance to go and see a game, please do. If you've got a chance to support these PDRL teams.
Right.
Please. The ultimate aim, I think, talking to people like Adam Hills before he accidentally concussed himself.
I tell you what, that try he made, that would have been the best try of the season, whether it was disability rugby league or Super League. It was an absolute... I think there's about 12 times the ball got passed. Right, I want to ask you two guys, right, and be open and honest, you were the commentators, you saw it all there. I talk about consistency week in and week out and giving yourself points out of 10. How many would you give Scoey and how many would you give Mark Wilson? Phil Kaplan, how many would you give me for my performance? Be honest. What? Out of 10.
Bearing in mind the expectation I had of you before you played.
How many? What would I have got out of 10 from Phil Kaplan?
6.
Mark Wilson, you give him more than me. I'm
8.
Yes. Well done, Phil.
Sure, right.
I subscribe to the Brian McDermott 2-9 scale. So for long time.
Who's 9 then?
For long time.
How many for the legend?
7.
Yeah,
from Mr. Wilson.
Yeah, 7 as well.
Fair play. 6 Kaplan.
Barry McDermott, 8.
The one thing I will say about me getting steamrolled, we are going to move on because I know people think this is a bit of a loving for ourselves. At least I had a go at tackling the big lad. That's all I'm going
to
say.
Well, you need to be a bit smarter, Mr. Wilson.
Well, the next time I nicked the ball off him, but I got penalised for that as well.
He's now my favourite player now. And he's taken off from that the Bradford Bulls player who smacked one of the Rhinos players in that game earlier in the season. In the Women's Super League, he's now my favourite player.
6 from Phil Kaplan.
Well, it's cost potential. I expected more.
Yeah. More? What about the runarounds at creativity I was doing?
No, let's move on. Right, Rich, what's happening in social media? What's happening here? I can't see these now.
It's all going down to the bottom. I don't know what's up with it. It's almost broken the computer. Should we talk about the internationals? Because that was the other big story. Yeah, the second big story of the week.
It was. First, England 36, New Zealand 18.
First big story, us loving, like other stations. But now it's on to other stuff. Here's James. Can anyone explain why Luke Thompson was in the original squad, but Scott Tag Taylor, that's not his middle name, I've read the League Express letters page. Liam Watts' dad, stop writing letters to the League Express.
Yeah, I've heard about this.
It is embarrassing.
I'm going to read it now. Go on, you carry on.
Scott Taylor was called up and played before him. # Bennett out, Scully in. Well, they did win.
Is it not just to get him? Have we not had this before, where you've almost got to go and serve a little apprenticeship before you get you're in? And I think Taylor has replaced the man who was going to start, and therefore
I don't think it'll do Luke Thompson any harm to be in that environment. He's never been in it before. I think he's been interviewed, as indeed all the players were, and said it's been a terrific experience. I think being part of that elite environment, training every day with players that you're not familiar with, wearing the England shirt, it's the motivation that you need to carry on the remainder of this season the way he started. And yeah, the whole experience will stand him in fantastic stead. I can't find a negative. Be very surprised if people who are sending messages in today can. I thought the performance of England was superb. I thought the team selection was right. I thought the exhibition that both sides gave to a new audience would have had them coming back for more. I think getting 20,000 there is a great start in an unfamiliar city, and some of the feedback that has been coming from Americans that watched it for the first time is that they thoroughly enjoyed it. They couldn't even get over the fact that Gareth Widdop could kick a goal from the halfway line. They don't normally see stuff like that. The fact that the ball is constantly in play and they're used to watching the NFL where it's stop-start. The fact that they were tailgating. Some of them missed the start of the game because they were so busy enjoying themselves on the concourse outside. The important thing for me, brilliant hors d'oeuvre for the three-match series later in the year. I think England, New Zealand now, we can really market that on the back of this test. New Zealand are going to have some of their top liners back, but some of the ones we saw for the first time serve notice that they're going to be really good. That the way that England played, particularly having gone 12-0 down, and the manner in which they played was really encouraging. But the main thing is we have to do this again. There is no point doing this in Denver in front of 20,000 people if we never go back.
Tell you what as well, I've been getting a bit of stick regarding Wayne Bennett being the England coach, and even a Keefe fan ripped into me yesterday as I was leaving Keefe, saying, England's performed last night and you're calling for Wayne Bennett to be sacked because he's a useless coach. Let me just rectify this. I have never said Wayne Bennett's a useless coach. Wayne Bennett is one of the best coaches that's ever been. Wayne Bennett is still a quality coach. What I have questioned is his style of play and his team selection. That's all. But on Saturday night, and certainly when we talked about with Makinson and Connor being on the bench, what a great move that was, And I say Jake Connor, people were saying, well, will he put a marker down? Will he look as though he's an international player? Boy, oh boy. He not only just put a marker down, but he looked as though he'd been an international player for the last two or three seasons. And I just think here now, certainly for Radders at club level, he needs to get Connor close to the player with that ball in hand. I think it'd be a quality standoff, or even better, look forward as well, to be honest with you. The style of play was good on Saturday night. England were brilliant, but let me just tell everybody out there, I have never questioned Wayne Bennett being a quality coach. Wayne Bennett is a quality coach, has been a quality coach, still is. I've only questioned his team selection and the style of play. But quite simply, on Saturday night, England were brilliant, fully deserved it, and I can't wait for the three-match test series come October, November.
Wayne Bennett's comments before and after about International Rugby League are exactly why he's in the job, because he's the most powerful man in that position.
And again, roundly criticised for being terse with the media, but when he says something, because he doesn't say it very often, people tend to go, hang on a minute, we need to record this, we need to take notes of this. His defence of that test match in the post-match press conference was fantastic. And said all the right things about, if we don't do this now and capitalise on it, then what will we be doing in 20 years' time?
It's all of the Aussies who have moaned about it. So if they don't want an international calendar themselves, kick them out.
I think the other thing that was really, really encouraging was that very cleverly, Clint Newton was asked to go over there, who was obviously the representative of the Australian
Players
Union. As a spy,
to see how it went.
He was asked to go over as part of the official party to view the game, to feed back to the players in Australia whether they should be supportive or not of this concept. to all intents and purposes, he is. Now, if the players are going back saying they've had a fantastic time, if he's going back saying, I spoke to all the players, I've seen the effects of altitude, maybe we have got every base covered, I think you get his support and suddenly it moves up a level. I can't see when our players who play in the NRL are saying, we're going next year.
Well, they can stop anybody going. Well, what they've also got to realise is, you know, they're not just the only nation that plays this game. Oh. And when you look at all other, when you look at all the other sports, i.e. in football, we know what's going on in football now, but all the time, year in, year out, you look at cricket, you look at rugby union, they're always playing international games. So if the Aussies don't want to be part of the international calendar, kick him out.
The other thing that we've proved is that we can have an international window without them.
Correct.
Because we had the two Pacific tests, which were absolutely magnificent. Sold out.
Yeah.
18,000 at Campbelltown. We had 20,000 new fans, the majority of them new, seeing England play New Zealand. We didn't need Australia this weekend. In fact, it was better not having them, because their state of origin was fantastic on top of everything that we saw internationally.
I'll tell you what as well, because I saw the PNG Fiji game as well, and one thing for sure. Has it been shown on TV, the Knights and Papua New Guinea, when they go out there?
You'd hope so.
I hope it is, because one thing for sure for the England Knights, and they wear the Papua New Guinea guys. Now, they are a team and they play with great skill, but one thing what they play with, you talk about that commitment, you talk about getting ripped in. Boy, oh boy, is that going to be an experience for the England Knights? And one thing for sure, if they think, well, we've got a Papua New Guinea, they're only 10th in the rankings in the world, they're in for an experience they will never ever experience before, not just on the field, but as we talk about with the culture nowadays, and certainly the country where they're going to, it will be a learning curve both on and off the field. And one thing for sure, the PNG guys, am I looking forward to seeing that two game test series against them?
They were
outstanding, weren't they, against Fiji?
They were fantastic, but I mean the Samoa and Tonga game was just
see that game, to be honest.
But all the World Cup flooding back, all of the sea of red and white in the stadium, and the quality of the game, that Tonga looked like they were going to run away with it. And Samoa really dogged in the second half, but the two war cries at the beginning of the game, where they end up doing it simultaneously and facing each other at the end of it, all of that you cannot buy. It's sensation. There was screaming throughout the game from the fans. They absolutely loved it. I do think as well that Australia have a very important part to play, and I think the Australia-Tonga game that is being planned for the end of this year, which could well be in America, I think there's at least three places bidding for it. Toronto want it, New York want it to showcase the game, but Hawaii want it as well, where there's a really big Polynesian community. I think once you get Australia, and Mal Meninga is a guy who wants to further international rugby league, buying into what's happening anyway, then it just strengthens it. You just don't need to start with them. We now need a weekend where everybody other than Australia plays.
Is there not? Do we not have to bite the bullet now when it comes to international rugby league and say, do we need to go the same way that they structure their competition, so we can then say to them, right, we'll meet you halfway, we'll play when you play, which means then, X, Y, and Z, we want a game here, a game there, and a series there.
It works for rugby union, doesn't it? The rugby union clubs and whatever don't have an issue with that, because it works for rugby union. As we know now, you know, Ireland have gone to Australia, England in South Africa, Scotland, Argentina, Canada, and what have you. So they know, and then come November time, all the Southern Hemispheres come over here. So if we get the international calendar sorted out, everybody has to buy into that. No mourning from the clubs, because that's the way where we get the massive sponsors, and that's the way the game gets the TV coverage and all the recognition. It has to be put into place. It has to be part of the calendar, and everybody has to buy into it.
And I think that's what this weekend has proved.
Oh, yes. I loved it.
If you have a blank weekend in both hemispheres, we need to capitalise. Now what we need is Wales playing, Scotland playing, France playing, Ireland playing. We need Holland playing, Belgium. Everybody who can play international rugby league should play this weekend. That's what the international window is. We've opened it, but we haven't done it fully.
That's what attracts TV people. That's what attracts sponsors. And one thing for sure, players absolutely love. Love being part of an international setup and putting the international jersey on.
And
love it.
Every single interview we've had back, audio and visual, of the England players is they've been talking about what a fantastic week they've had. Not just the experience of playing at Mile High Stadium, which, you know, Scott Taylor is a Denver Broncos fan. He couldn't believe that he was playing on the ground of his hero. So it's that experience for the players. But they went to a baseball game, and they got involved in the culture of a new city being flown halfway around the world. We need to give our players that experience. We don't want them going to other sports. And if there is the prospect of playing a game like that in the middle of the season, we've got to give it to them.
I agree.
Chris is in Denver, just about to board the plane back, where I rocked my Bit Harsh and Peas on Toast t-shirts. Available now at shop.proper sport.uk. Having been at the game, I'm really glad I made the trip. Enjoyed the game, and I have to say that the locals in the crowd loved the spectacle. They thought the physicality was fabulous, and the big hits, tackle busts and offloads really got the crowd going. Yes, the stadium was too big for 19,000, but would the game have drawn the right level of interest had it been played at a small local field? I doubt it. There's much to capitalise on here, but what's next? Is there a follow-up plan, or are we in danger of letting the trail go cold?
The promoter has said it's more than likely it will be on again next year. It is going to be interesting, isn't it? The rumour is that there is going to be international rugby at the end of the year in the States. That's going to be interesting how that goes. But all in all, pretty good. I think we're all happy with
it. Matt, absolutely made up. Delighted with it. Absolutely made up.
Here is dissenting views. Diddle.
Go on then.
Liam McNally. Why do we continue to sell international rugby league to the unknown when it's not working in our own country? Surely we need to work on selling out the fixtures in this country that we struggle to do. You build your own house before moving, do you? Same at domestic level. Toronto, New York, etc. is a farce and embarrassing. It's not to create international rugby players. It's about money and RFL staff wanting better perks. Have they got any staff? I've got to say, because people said, oh, this crowd, it's rubbish. Look at this massive stadium with all the empty seats. It's like watching Huddersfield. But no, because one of the hotbeds of rugby league is Hull. We're told this all the time, aren't we? Hull. City of Rugby. If they don't sell out that game against New Zealand, question's got to be answered in the autumn. But so we take two foreign teams to America and sell nearly 20,000 tickets. You can take the world champions, Australia, to Hull and sell 5,500 in 2016. So where were you then, Hull, to watch Australia versus Scotland? If you want it, you don't go and watch it.
Right, has he had a bang on the head or something?
I'll tell you what, when next time we go to Will, we'll take it short. Right, he'll be getting all the stick instead of me.
Yeah, he will, yeah.
Hey?
Yeah. No, look, I don't get that point.
No.
My argument is we're not brave enough in England.
I agree, yeah.
I think if you... Where have we got a Hull? Where are the games?
Ellen Road and Liverpool. Anfield, Ellen Road and Hull.
Right, so...
Why are we going to Hull?
Hull... Why are we going there? Holds 25,000 people. Why is there a game there?
Because it's New Zealand, and in the 1980s, New Zealanders played for Hull.
40 years ago.
So, probably, I'd say, 50% of the crowd that go in have no reason to know any of that. Why Ellen Road, I get, holds, what, 36,000? We'll get in there. Great atmosphere. Anfield, great
atmosphere. Anfield's good because we're going back to somewhere where we took... a Four Nations final. Yeah. So,
but why are we not going to Newcastle? Or why are we not having it at the Etihad?
We talk, and I've mentioned it now for the last 3 years, haven't I? You know, taking international rugby league to Newcastle and the double header from there, under the lights on a Friday night, if not Friday, because people may struggle to get there, on a Saturday night, under lights at Newcastle, that's 52,000 people, Mark, Rich and Phil, that would sell out. It would be absolutely buzzing. Everybody would travel up there. We know exactly what it's like as a city, but that would, a double header into National Rugby League, what, you put Tonga v New Zealand and England v Australia? Oh, mate, you won't get a ticket for nothing because, you know, you just sell out like that. But as we mentioned here, you know, international, it brings everybody out. Everybody wants to watch the best feed the best, and International Rugby League does that. And I just wish the RFL would take a test match up to Newcastle. Because people would go. They would make it an event, and they would make it an overnight stay, and they would make it there.
Well, unfortunately, international rugby is going to Newcastle next year because England Rugby Union are playing Italy. So we've beaten to it. Well done. We'll go to Hull and we'll go, you know, go to Huddersfield again next year or whatever. Got 20,000 at Coventry. Was it Bonfire Night? We'll go back.
Yeah, but Coventry don't been the same as what Newcastle is.
No, we've been there. Wasn't
you know, we've been there ourselves. But a double header, we're talking about these events and whatever. I'll tell you what. I don't think he would have an issue with selling all the hospitality out and selling 52,000 tickets. I don't, because people want to come and watch the best feed, the best, and quality rugby league.
Somewhere different.
So we're looking forward to the end of season then?
Can't wait, mate. You know, and I know England got a good victory and said, oh, well, they're all against seven players making the debuts for New Zealand. But listen, they were quality players. They wanted to put a marker down for their international careers, mate. And we know what New Zealand has got back. So now, yeah, this is mouthwatering. And there's nothing better than international rugby league. Can't wait for it, mate.
How good was Easton Masters, who very few people will have heard of, just making his way at West Tigers? He looked like an international in the same way that Jake Connor did. No, it's going to be fantastic. And I think it's not that we're doing something new. That's what we've got to get away from. People saying that, oh, you need to look after something else rather than the international game. We went to America for the first time in the 1920s. It's just we've never done it properly.
Do you know what, Phil? You know the other sport, rugby union? How does that survive? Because of the sellout crowds.
How does cricket survive?
Yeah, because of the sellout crowds at international grounds, international games. You know, at Twickenham, we all know from there, you know, they could, for whoever they play, it doesn't matter if they're playing Argentina or whoever, New Zealand from there, they could sell that out. It's 82,000 Twickenham. Mm. As we all know, they could sell it out the record four or five times. It's the international game that, you know, well, gives the money to the clubs.
And it's like we've said about the potential, well, the World Cup qualifiers that are coming up, the potential for Chile to be involved in it. You know, they're going to be seen to be playing international rugby league. How excited have we been about the Football World Cup with nations that we don't normally see?
And now, what are they competing?
At this stage of the competition, you're not really worried so much about who's going to win it. You want to see, I don't know, Colombia or sides that you don't see on a week-to-week basis. See, it's the international game that builds the domestic
and also
game.
As well, like, you know, Richard Shorewright said last week, you know, and kids, you know, and like back in our day, you know, it was on the BBC, so a lot more people saw it on the international game on television, but the more kids see the international side playing on TV, they want to be, you know, like back in our day, it was Scoville, Hanley, Afire, Edwards, Gregory, Lydon, Crooks. But nowadays, you know, they want to aspire to be a Burgess, they want to be aspire to an O'Loughlin, they want to be aspire to a Widdop. But the more they see of them, the more they see of them in an international jersey, that's inspiration. That's where you get it from, the schools, and growing up from there, they want to be rugby league players.
We're a very tribal sport. We're built on local rivalries. Mm. During the season, but the one thing that gets everybody round
international
supporting
sport. Everybody,
the whole sport,
correct.
Is the international dimension.
Game. Well, I say, well, you know, I was at the World Cup last year, and you know, on our trip, you know, we had Widnes fans, we had Lee fans, we had Wigan fans, we had Leeds fans, we had every fan, you know, from everything, but. On that trip, we was all England fans. There was no club.
Absolutely.
There was no any club support. It was all about we're all England, and that's
and
what it does.
There weren't that many games in the World Cup that got crowds bigger than 20,000.
Yeah. I don't mean to pick on Hull, by the way, for poor attendances for Rugby League Internationals as I've been pulled up for on Twitter. but, you know, when France come along and there's 8,000 people at Lee or however many at Doncaster, this should be bigger crowds.
The French are a perfect example of international rugby league. Their domestic competition doesn't get big crowds, but every time they play at home, no matter what the level of the French national team, there's 14,000 people at Avignon, 10,000 people in Perpignan. It's the international game really grabs them, and that's how you make your money.
And I'll tell you what as well, right? Let me just, because I know you mention it all the time, Phil, at times, players being tired in too many games. One thing for sure, you pick a player for his national side, one thing he won't do, he'll say, I'm a little bit jaded. I don't think about putting this international jersey on. That's what they aspire to. Mm-hmm. When they sign professional forms, when they make the first team debut, all they want to do then is play well week in and week out, get recognised, and put that international jersey on. But just here now, Jake Connor. You know, the way that Jake Connor's played. Did Jake Connor, with the form what he got, did he feel as well be pulling England jersey on? Maybe not. But he has done. And you could see not just how proud he was, Jake, but also, Trill, what about the smile on his face? He absolutely loved it. And as I say, you would have thought he'd been part of the international setup for a couple of years. The players have bought into it. We know what sort of character he is. That's what makes him, and that's why the players like him, being around from there. But he can play
a calendar. You've got to be able to say to Jake Connor, the next international is, and this is where we let the Irish guys down, for example, who played so well in the World Cup and have only recently found out that there's going to be some European games at the end of the season that double as World Cup qualifiers. We need a calendar that is set in stone. We need to know for certain that the tours are coming back. They still haven't been signed off yet.
Absolutely, but also as well, Phil. Right, another thing. What the players certainly are getting buzzing and still have that ambition, right? Putting on the international, as you've mentioned from there, going different parts of the world.
Absolutely.
Don't keep going to A, B, C and D, the same place, because then you will get, I've been there too many times, I'm going to cry off and what have you. You send them different parts of the world, they're going to say, the England Knights, they go to Papua New Guinea. That's going to be an experience they'll never, ever have, and they're going to say, it'll be one they will remember for the rest of life. I know myself, we've been at Papua New Guinea. But then if we start sending them to Tonga, and then Fiji, and these sort of places from there, that's where we can test them, but also as well, that's the places where they want to go, and that's why they want to put the international jersey on, because of the tourists.
And the dynamic has changed, and it was proved again this weekend with the likes of Tamalolo and Andrew Fifita electing still to play for Tonga. You know, Fifita turned down the chance to play in state of origin because he wanted to play in the Tonga. Hopewati, again, you know, all people that were eligible to play in state of origin said, no, if there's an international on at the same time, I want to play for my country. That's massive. If you'd have been playing... If they'd have had a Denver test at the time you were playing, you'd have jumped on that plane to be a part of it, just to get the life experience.
I'd have walked there.
We owe it to the players. So it's.
I might miss a kickoff, but I'd have walked there.
I don't get.
I
don't get the point.
Seen how fast he ran at the weekend. I'm not optimistic.
Oh, that's a bit harsh.
Probably run 10 metres. You don't want to set off too fast, do you? You break the rules, get a penalty against you.
I'll tell you what, you know, just a simple going back just to Saturday, just for a touch. I said to Mark, we're going to do a run around. So I said, get a little bit wide, get a little bit wide. And by the time I passed it, by the time I got there, I was knackered. I thought, what if I told him to go 15 metres away from me? By the time I got there, I was knackered. But it was good fun, good fun. But hey, listen, more of the international game, please. More of the international game. Let's make them events. Take them to different venues because people, I can guarantee you, people will support the international calendar,
and
Mark.
The one thing that is going to finance this sport in the foreseeable future is the World Cup in 2021. If we can spend the next 3 years having events like this,
promoting, marketing, getting the players out there, correct, absolutely, getting the players out there, get the posters out there of everybody, get them out there.
And that's what we saw in Denver, didn't we? We saw all those pictures people were taking of all the promotion around because the promoters wanted to make money. What a novel idea. Nicholas says, the only money about why are we going to America and why is there a team in Toronto only serves to undermine the sport. I don't think the complainers realise that they are actually part of the problem. All the complaints turn new people away. Why should they want to go watch a sport when all the people in it spend all their time saying everything that's wrong? Praise the good things, promote the sport. Julie says, have no problems with the growth of international teams, the promotion of these games. Still don't understand why we're letting overseas teams into our leagues. Surely they should be setting up their own leagues and promoting that. We're going to lose teams from the UK that have been around forever to make way for these teams. Maybe those teams who've been around forever should be run better.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Maybe they're part of the problem in our game.
No one cried when Gloucestershire and Oxford disappeared, did they?
Whitehaven could be disappearing as well very soon, unfortunately. So, again, you know, when we talk about tradition from there, and that's very, very sad when you're reading in League Express today regarding the situation there at Whitehaven. And, again, there's a consortium looking to take over. They've not been told the truth, allegedly, from the directors. The directors have come back and said, we've given them everything what they have requested, the transparency from there. So, again, it looks like that's one of the great clubs in rugby league. It could be folding very quickly. And well, I hope it's not the weekend because we play Whitehaven there, so that'd be a good test for us. And you know what, fellas? It's my birthday on Sunday. So is your birthday card in the post, Mr. Wilson?
Tom will make one.
We're working on it. They're all in 99p at a well-known card factory. Is that what they call it? They call it card factory, don't you?
But we are buying one.
99p.
Just as a point of interest, take out the Bradford Bulls. By the way, 4,000 for their game with Doncaster in League One.
Yeah.
Biggest attendance, despite the fact that Hunslet, Keithley, Workington were all at home. Biggest attendance, Newcastle against Coventry. Two outsiders.
What was it, Newcastle?
903.
And you can't
there you go, fair play to them.
You know, it's not as if they've got a Bradford going up there, is it?
No. So you'd argue that's pretty impressive, I would say. Well done to them.
Bit of them off.
Coventry, I'm sure, will be rubbing their hands together because they've got the Bulls this week. We're going, Rich. We're making his way down there, so that should be good fun. Looking forward to that.
You'll be royally treated. They're extremely hospitable.
Are you staying over? Making a night of it?
No.
In Coventry?
He might be.
Make sure they've got a shirt in my size. Yeah. I've got work the next morning.
Have you got some tack? Because Rich will buy it. Any tack you've got, get it in the shop.
Get a pen and quick. Rich will have it.
I'll be there.
Rich will have it. So they'll be looking to make a few quid out of that as well. By the way, we should mention in League One, big win for Hunslet yesterday against Oldham.
They're on fire, Hunslet.
Keithley beaten by York. Legend, what happened?
Well, again, the first half, pretty competitive. Well, very competitive, to be honest with you. And then 18-10
at half time.
Yeah, just before half time, Mark, we're literally 20 yards away from the try line, 20 seconds to go, looking to score the try. We spill the ball, their winger picks up, goes 80 yards, 18-10 at half time. Straight after half time, York score again, and after that, we want competitive. No. York, good side coach, very well. I like James Ford as a coach. To play with a smile on the face, play good, attractive rugby league, and quite simply, we were blown away in the second half. The attitude wasn't good. And again, we've got Whitehaven, and then we've got Hemel, then we've got Oldham, and then we play Coventry. So, if I'm honest with you, Mark, I would say over the next four games, because Hunslet now in great form, Oldham in good form, Doncaster up there, Newcastle up there. So if
well,
we
do, nine teams, but
what I'm saying is over the next four games, if we only win two of them, we need to go on a run now, a bit of consistency, four games on the top, because if we only win two out of them four and the other sides up there win their games, then there could be a buffer between 4 and 6 points. And it's absolutely vital for us this year that we do finish in the top five, from a point of view, financial-wise. But it's all about consistency, and for 40 minutes just in the second half, simply not good enough.
And a word in the Championship as well, fellas. This race for the top four is intense now, isn't it? Mm. The Wolfpack, they're in. 33 points for them. They're home and hosed. Toulouse, 26. Featherstone, 26. Halifax, 25. London, 24. Lee, 24. Five games left. This is going right to the buzzer.
It is good to the wire. And just, I'll say Phil will come in now, but I just want to finish off. It's same in our league, and it's same in that Championship there now. If you don't bring your A game, you ain't going to get the 80-minute perfect performance, but if you don't bring your A game for around about 65, 70 minutes in then game, you're going to get turned over.
My only worry is that the huge chasm between those teams that are fighting to get into the top four and the ones below them, because it seems to me there is an increase in predictability about the fixtures. It's going to depend on who you've got in the running. So the games that are going to mean everything are the ones like we've got in Toronto this week, where they're playing Lee, because it seems to me as though those clubs at the top of the league will beat those at the bottom of the league in the scheduled games between now and the end of the season. Bit of a worry as well that Barrow only went to Toronto with 14 players, having only gone to Featherstone with 15 the week before. I think if you're going to have a credible middle-tier competition where the ultimate aim is to get promoted into Super League, you cannot have games where teams don't turn up with a full amount of players. That is a terrible look for the sport.
You don't need a visa to get into Featherstone either.
No.
Just want to get out.
Need your jabs.
I'll tell you what. Hey, listen.
No, I'll live in Bradford, man. I can say anything.
No cake for you from Joanne now.
I'll tell you what, then. You're saying, hey, he's having a go at Ullam and now Featherstone. You're ripping into Featherstone. I'll tell you what, you won't be allowed anywhere. Don't worry about that.
Burning copies of the 83 Cup Final programme outside Post Office Road next week.
Framing the future.
Brian says that's the average crowd every home game at Newcastle, apparently. So then the question we should be asked is, why do they get an average that high when they're in the middle of the table and teams are above them who have been established for over 100 years get less?
Yeah.
Because it's all right saying...
Legend, Workington, 444. Another one playing Emil Staggs, 444.
But that's...
Well, hotbed of rugby league.
Listen, Mark, as I've said it many, many times... The Cumbrians will watch quality rugby league. We've just been talking about the international calendar. They will watch international rugby league because they know they're getting the best players. The Cumbrian people, they won't watch rubbish. They will not watch rubbish. They prefer to watch the amateur game. They prefer to watch Kells. They prefer to watch Wathbrow. They prefer to watch Egremont because they know they're getting better quality at amateur level, mate. At amateur level, at professional level. Simple answer.
Right, so if they're not bothered, why should we be bothered?
I agree.
So it seems a fair point. I'm getting a bit tired of it now.
Well, now this,
if they're getting 2,000 and 3,000 every week, then it's a different game, isn't it?
I understand that, but again, just to backing up for the Cumbrian people, Mark, they will watch quality rugby league, and it's been proven when Scotland have gone up there and played the big boys. They will watch it, mate. But unfortunately, from a professional point of view, again, just repeating myself, they're not getting quality rugby league, so they won't watch it. They're seeing better
and
amateur rugby league.
If they won't go watch poor rugby league, then they can't put more money into the club. I agree. Then they're going bust.
Well, exactly as they are going to do, unfortunately.
I'm just not sure what the outcome is there. If they're not prepared, it's almost if they're not prepared to help themselves, why should anyone else help them? That's a serious point I make there. We will see.
Well, there's a lot of clubs at the same, you know, certainly in the League One.
Yeah, exactly. Why are we always people going, you're losing your clubs in Heartland? What ones have had 120 years to get a crown and can't get one?
And I get that some of the issues are related to structure of those towns that have changed over the course of history, that their industries have gone that built them into the towns that they were. I get all of that. But I think as well, if you stand still, you die. And it happens.
Is that not life, Phil? Things change.
Yeah. And I think what this weekend has shown us that there are markets out there that we're only scratching the surface of. And if you can get things like the international game right, if you can take matches to the right venues, then there is a spillover for everybody. Mm. You know, I don't want to keep going on about the PDRL game, but the crowd at that is higher than some of these semi-professional games in both. You know, and not having a go at Rochdale, but there were more people watching PDRL Rugby League than there were at Rochdale against Toulouse. Now, I know Rochdale have had some issues this year, but that, to me, tells you where the sport is going, and you can't stop that. That is, you know, it's always happened. You know, I would love Broughton Rangers to have a cup run this year, but the chances are they're not going to.
This is why it's very smart that the PDRL and the Women's Super League and all these different offshoots have the same names of the clubs. Because now, if Wakefield Trinity Ladies were, I don't know, something, Eastmoor Ladies, it won't be interesting because I don't come from Eastmoor. But now the Wakefield Trinity, they've won 7 in a row. We're going to win the Shield in the quarterfinals this week at Hull. Only got Bradford, really, to worry about. They're good. But 7 in a row now, Wakefield. Because they're attached to the club. This is the future.
You see, again, you know, mentioned we call it Rugby League, and we've got a Keithley mark, you know, to see where we are looking. Hopefully, you know, we want to get our crowds up to 1,000 and 1,200. That's what we were looking for this year, right? And it's quite simple. People will not watch if you're not a winning side. They won't watch it. You know, the hospitality's turned out, it's pretty good now. We're getting numbers in there and whatever you might. But at the end of the day, your genuine supporters, they will not watch at times.
You won't
rubbish
win,
rugby league.
You won't win off the top five. How can you can't say they're rubbish?
No, I didn't say we're rubbish, but they won't watch. It's not quality rugby league. And when you look at some of the performances, certainly from yesterday, again, it's the same old. We've done pretty well against the lesser side, but when it's come with the big boys at times, we've just been knocked off. You know, but it's all about that consistency. And we are looking. The club have budgeted this year for a crowd of 1,000 to 1,200. And I think our average now so far is around about 610. We're miles off. And the simple answer is, people will not watch rugby league if it's not quality on that park. And that brings everything. Then that brings everything from a point of view from there, where if you're up there week in and week out and playing consistent, good, attractive rugby league, people will come and watch it. But it's the same. It's the same for everybody. It's the same
should,
for everyone.
Should Keith be looking at getting a women's team? And a PDR
we have got a women's team. We have got a women's side, a ladies' side, which has just started and led from there. But listen, our goal is
players double headers, and you might get
yeah. But our goal is now with all this, you know, the shenanigans what have gone on from there, and you know, I put it out around about 5 or 6 weeks ago from the vision and the journey what we're on, and you know, and I said, well, listen, in 3 years' time, we need to be in that championship, but obviously we need more revenue. That revenue then, from a point of view, comes from the crowd coming from there. We need to get a crowd of 1,000 to 1,200. To bring the quality players to get us where we are, Phil. Mm-hmm. Because if we don't get them quality players, we are lacking quality. If we don't get the quality players, we won't get to where we want to get to. But we need more people coming through the turnstiles.
I need to ask our Toronto listeners. Is there any crossover between your support and the Toronto Argonauts? Because they play Canadian football in the summer. And I think they played on Saturday night at the same time as the Wolfpack. So does that affect you? Because Michael's asked us. If Toronto get into Super League, do you think Super League clubs will lose out on revenue with Catalans and Toronto not bringing supporters? That hoary old subject.
Hold on. How many did Winners set to Wakefield at the weekend? Serious question.
If you cannot promote a home game against a team like Toronto or the Dragons or Toulouse or whoever, then that's you not doing your job properly.
If York City Knights can do it, absolutely. If Coventry can do it, and I'm sure they haven't got full-time staff able to do it.
No, it's having an innovative social media programme that people think there is a real event going on that they want to be part of. And you get involved with people like your Canadian expat community, and you do, you know, you talk to firms that have got distribution in Canada or sister companies over there. There are ways of getting people in, even if the opposition don't bring a huge number of fans. That is a complete red herring.
Ask York how they do it.
I'll tell you how they do it. They do it free with innovative social media and some great volunteers.
Yeah, but Woodford they've got as well. They've got a pretty good rugby league team, so they're doing the business, you know, literally week in, week out on a consistent basis. And this is what I keep harping on about, and they are also
getting good crowds against the likes of West Wales, where you're not going necessarily for the result.
No, but Phil, you know as well as I do, right?
In sport, you know as well as I do,
and we all do from there. Doesn't matter who your side is playing. If you're winning, they want to just keep the winning. They want to see a winning side. Doesn't matter who you're playing against.
Yeah, absolutely. But there are certain things you can do to make it part of
the
social fabric of your town or your city. Yeah. And that's, again, where PDRL and Women's comes in as potentially a doubleheader, because you're getting a different audience, different sponsors.
But again, the selling point is, you know, because, you know, in the sales a little bit from a point of view, the selling point is, if you're doing on the park from there, people will come and watch. It doesn't matter who you're playing.
You like to get up and start singing a few songs or something at school. Get a band on or something. You like to do something a bit different.
They always have a beer festival, don't they, at Toronto?
The only thing I don't understand about Toronto is why they were playing at exactly the same time as the England-New Zealand test in Denver. I would have thought Toronto should have kicked off a little earlier and then shown it on the big screen. Because, yeah, I know Canada isn't North America, but that's the market that we're trying to conquer. And it seemed odd to me that they were playing at the same time the test was going on.
Yeah, big game this week. Toronto Lee.
Massive.
Standout game in the championship. There must be some big games to come.
It's not as if they don't like each other either.
No, but there's got to be some big games to come because every week I look and it's the big teams are playing the little teams.
But also as well, when you look at that league table, the top six don't change, does it? Because they're all winning, aren't they? Or whatever. Yeah. It doesn't change. So, yeah, that is mouthwatering.
Up and have a look at
that top six in the championship is mouthwatering.
Right. Leeds Rhinos in crisis.
Same team, same crisis.
I got 100 tweets or whatever over the weekend. Obviously, they are in crisis. Come in, the legend. We're now about 30th and 31st on the first team squad now, Scoy. You do understand that, don't you? I don't want to talk about Leeds in crisis. I want to talk about Wigan in crisis. And this is not because they lost at Castleford. Very good game. Castleford just at the end found a way to win it when Wigan found a way not to win it.
Fantastic result for Cass.
Great result for Cass. We'll come on to that in a minute. 1-5 for Wigan, we know that. Sean Wayne announced today he's going to Scotland Rugby Union. That was a rumour, it was that or the Dragons we heard. He's going to Scotland Rugby Union. Now, all and sundry, all of their players are getting linked with moves away.
Yeah,
now,
exactly.
Is this people putting the boot in on Wigan? Is this dark forces ganging up on Ian Lenigan? Because it seems to me that Ian Lenigan's more bothered about the Super League than he is about his own team. And his own team at the moment, Ryan Sutton leaving, John Bateman, we understand he's going to be following him down to the NRL.
George Williams, now they're talking about it with Catlins. So
Tommy Lulawai being linked.
Right. The fact is here now, I don't think Ian Lenigan realises the big mistake what he's made here. This is all in my opinion, but I think everybody else will pretty agree who knows a little bit about the game, whatever, that the interference what he's made with Sean Wayne, by the decisions what he's come on with, i.e. letting McAlonham go, Sam Tompkins has gone now, Sutton's going, Bateman's undecided now, with the big news with George Williams being linked with Catalans after signing, it's a new deal. Plus, as well, he's a marquee signing as well, Phil. So far,
I don't think he'll be going, by the way.
But also, as well, the fact is, marquees, all these players are like sons to Sean Wayne, and Sean Wayne is a father to all them players, and they only know Sean Wayne, you know. Yeah. So now, there's an interim coach, by all accounts, coming in. Allegedly, it could be Sean Edwards then coming in, or it could be Wayne Bennett as the director of rugby, and Sean Edwards coming from there. They reckon that relationship there. But the players have only known, they have only known one thing. They have only known one structure, only known one culture, because Wayne has been there now for, 30-odd years, has he? 30 years, from academy, from a scout. He's seen all these kids come through, playing at Wigan St Pat's, because that's where the majority of them come through from there. So I'll tell you what, Mr Lenigan does not realise the biggest mistake what he's done since he's been at Wigan by letting Sean Wayne go by his interference. And also as well, for Sean's point of view, I would imagine they'll do a good job as well in the rugby union. Whether he's suited to rugby union, I'm not convinced, because for me, he's a rugby league man through and through. But also as well, Wayne is a character. The game of rugby league cannot afford to lose a big character like Sean Wayne. He's a little bit like me, as Sean. He's Marmite. You either like him or you don't. But one thing what Sean is, Sean's been an absolutely bloody, bloody great coach for Wigan Rugby League Club. And Mr Lenigan, with his interference, with his point of view from there, he wants to be the number one man in rugby league for his own club, is making a massive, massive mistake for mine.
I think there's two issues with Sean Wayne here. One is, I think the sport will miss him.
Without a doubt.
Unquestionably, I think we need people like him.
Correct.
And I think he's still got so much he can give as a coach. Now, whether that's at Wigan or whether it's in the international arena, whether it's even in the NRL to learn a bit more about coaching and then come back over. I think for us to lose Sean Wayne, it's not a great look for the sport.
I agree.
But I think the other thing is, having read the terms of his engagement with the Scottish Rugby Union, he's being employed as a consultant. So they're not actually taking him on the staff. Now, I suspect that leaves a window of opportunity open for him to come back to Rugby League if the right offer comes. He's going there to improve their mental strength, and he's going to identify talent, things that he's been really good at Wigan. Which the Scottish Rugby Union have seen. I don't know how much talent they've got to identify. Let's not forget that the talent they've just signed is Callum McClellan from Castleford, who obviously, ironically, is going to come under Sean Wayne's eye now. So I'm interested by that word consultant. That doesn't strike me as being employed by the union. But I just think it's a shame. I think the one thing that surprises me about Wigan is that this is a club that there's very rarely innuendo about. It's a solid club. There's not a lot of rumour and speculation that surrounds Wigan. They go out and do their business and then announce that they've done it. At the moment, it does seem like every single player that plays for them is under some kind of scrutiny. You know, is Tommy Lulai going to join the coaching staff or is he not? You know, is Sean O'Loughlin not too keen now to join a staff that he thought it was going to be Sean Wayne and now it isn't? Does he bring forward his retirement? Is he still going to play for another year? What's the structure going to be like that he's playing?
I think Lennigan has blown his own club up. I really do. I think he's blown it up.
I agree, man.
On the edge of it could be a nightmare winter for them. I really agree.
And what happens if they win the grand final and Sean Wayne walks away again? You know, it just seems a premature decision to be talking about the coach not being there next year. That it's announced mid-season. The timing is off somewhere. Something's gone awry.
Well, we all know what's gone awry, don't we? Sean's had enough of being undermined. He doesn't. I got asked about today
because I said they're a club that now sells their best player. Wigan are a selling club. There is no getting away from that. And
if George Williams were to leave, and in the course of a year their two marquee players are ditched, what does that say about Wigan?
Is it telling us the financial situation then?
Let's have a look. I've had a look. This year, out, McAlorum, Gelling, all right, Niusala didn't work out for whatever reason, but he was a big signing.
But not been replaced, let's face it. Gabe Hamlin is not a replacement.
He's gone. They brought in the winter, Sargentson came back, Gabriel Hamlin, and they've now brought in Joe Greenwood's come in.
That's a good sign.
Look back at recruitment and what they've let go. Charnley's gone. They let Mossop go, Crosby go, Sargentson went, Matty Smith went, Joe Burgess was sold, Logan Tompkins went, Matt Bowen retired, he was a big name player, Blake Green allowed to leave the club, Daryl Goulding left, Scott Taylor, look where he's at now, he was allowed to leave, Jack Hughes, look at him playing at Warrington, and you look at the players they've brought in, you know, alright, they've brought Burgess, Luluai have come back, Sam Tompkins has come back, other than that, Tautai, Willie Iser, Roman Navarre, Escare, then they're not recruiting like for like, are they? And is that a sign maybe they're... I'm with you. I think Lennigan's always moaning about money. He's a rich man, but he's always moaning about money. There's not enough money. Well, he doesn't have to buy these marquee players, does he? That's his choice to do.
Yeah, exactly.
I just think Wigan are a team. Sounds ridiculous. A second in the league, they could still win the competition.
And they have some...
I think off the field, I think they're in trouble.
They have some quality youngsters coming through. I think, you know, the wingers Marshall and Davies are classic examples of that at the moment, who both scored magnificent tries at Castleford last week. You can build a club around people like that. But what must they think is going on? They've just signed long-term deals and they're looking around thinking all of the people that we want in this team to be playing alongside are all disappearing. Now, they're going to need some assurances soon, or their agents will be saying, you know, we have had an offer from X, Y, or Z.
Well, I can reassure you as well. The character what Sean Wayne is compared to the character what Sean Edwards is, boy, oh, boy, it's 100% different to what's all the people. So it's going to be an absolute new club. This word, what's all around now, building a new culture. And so whether the players buy into the attitude and what culture what Sean Edwards had, which is totally different to Sean, I'm not convinced.
But if you're going to make that change, why would you do it a year earlier than you needed to do it? Because it creates so much uncertainty. We're all assuming that Sean Edwards is coming in. We're all assuming that it's going to be 2020. Part of the logic behind that is Ian Lennigan at the moment is not getting more spectators through the door with the players that he's signing. In fact, the likelihood is that some season ticket holders may say, well, if I'm not going to be watching McAlorum and Tompkins and Bateman, I may not renew my season ticket.
Yeah, but that's not Sean Wayne selling players.
But what he could do is bring Sean Edwards in as a coach and the town of Wigan goes, oh, I want to go and support the team because, you know, the talisman's back at the helm. But why would you do that a year before you need to? Again, the whole timing of everything just seems out.
Phil, you know as well as I do with the club what we support, Leeds. I tell you what, you know as well as I do, if they aren't winning, if they are not anywhere near the top four, the crowds will fall off. They will not come see a side that is not winning.
Although they didn't in 2016, and I think to be fair to them this year, they've seen the fact that there are some young kids coming through that they want to get behind. But the issue at Wigan is how do you get more people to go and watch in a town where everybody knows rugby league? You don't have to sell the idea that it's rugby league. Wigan is a rugby league town. So how do you get more people? If you're constantly selling your best players, you're getting a big name coach. But is that the answer? You've got to have the players to work with. I don't know where There's some great people that follow the Wigan club who write really precisely and intelligently about it, and they don't seem to think there's as much in all of these rumours that we're hearing today, that, you know, some of the speculation, particularly surrounding George Williams today, just isn't going to happen.
But my point is, where's that coming from?
Yeah, my argument is, why is it happening? This doesn't happen around Wigan. They're a self-contained club.
Is this people that are not happy with Lennigan? Try to dig him out, or put the boot in, or put pressure on him, or what? I don't know what they're doing.
Well, I would imagine they will do, but also as well, you know, when it came out and Sean said, "Yeah, I'm looking for a new challenge." Oh, listen, Sean knows a challenge. We know how much he loves Wigan Rugby League Club. We know if you cut him down the middle, he's cheering white. So Sean has always said, my challenge is to making sure I want Wigan juniors coming from here. I want 17 Wigan players wearing the cheering white. And I want us to be challenging for the top of the league, for the Challenge Cup and for Super League. That is a challenge for Sean Wayne.
Yeah.
But now, it's quite simple. And all Wigan fans, they're smart enough. Don't worry about that. They know exactly what's happened. It's been undermined. And one thing for sure, when this starts crumbling, slowly but surely, there's only one man to blame, and that's Mr. Lennigan.
And it's also safe to say that Alex Ferguson worked under the same challenge at Manchester United. There are some real similarities between Wigan and Manchester United, that he knew that every so often he had to rebuild the team. The challenge is to keep reinvigorating.
Of course it is. And that's what
Sean, to bring in some
top players.
That's
what Sean wanted, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, he doesn't need to go to Scottish Rugby Union to have a bigger challenge than rebuilding the Wigan team every 3 years.
You see, also as well, one thing I'm, you know, a little bit intrigued about is how quiet the CEO has been in Radlinski, because you know, up till recent times, you know, I'm led to believe the relationship between Sean and Rad has been pretty good. I'm betting it's not pretty good now.
Do you think Sean Wayne will see out the season?
Yeah, I do.
Unless they get a big name now, I think that's the only way it goes. I think that win at Hull last week has bought him a bit of time, because as disappointed as he will have been on Saturday, it's a game they could have won.
Yeah.
They didn't on Friday, sorry, they didn't win it. Yeah. But it was quite philosophical after Sean, I think he knows, look, this was always going to be tough coming here. He was actually very humble about Castleford and said that they deserved the win. Very glowing in his praise for the club as well.
And the youngsters that they're bringing through, because I think that is what he wants to do. You know, at Wigan, he's looking at Castleford, who had, what, 10 players out, bought in some young players, and they played with such pride and determination. It reflects so well on Darryl Powell, and I think that he'd like to be able to continue to do that with some of the kids that he's bringing through.
Well, I'm sure Darryl will do as well, and I think when you look at that victory against Wigan as well, were you there, Matt, were you? Were you there? Yeah. Again, what you see, we cast, they're showing that toughness
a
bit.
Well,
called
them out when they lost the sense.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
He called them soft, didn't
yeah,
he?
You know,
and,
so,
and he said he's been quite
so,
proud of the reaction.
Correct, you know, and the character, what they showed from there, you know, because maybe, I don't know, maybe last year or whatever, you know, certainly when it got tough against Wigan, they may not have got the two points from there. So, yeah, Dal, don't worry about that. Again, same as Wigan players with Wayney, players want to play for him, and exactly the same at Castleford. The Castleford players know, it doesn't matter how old they are, if they're good enough, they're old enough, as far as I'm concerned. I'm sure Darryl has the same philosophy, and they want to play for that coach, and he will get his just rewards by the players wanting to play for him.
One team is going to drop out of the top four, you would think. There are five going for four places. Now, there is a possibility that somebody's going to run a form that will see them drop out of it. It might be determined by who Hull can get back on the field, because they've got probably too many key men out at the moment, rather than everybody's got injuries, but it sometimes depends what position you've got your injuries in. But if Hull can get players fit again, I still think there are five teams vying for four places. Well, I think we can say that St Helens are already in. I think they're semi-finalists, they're league leaders designate. But if Wigan were to go on a run of three or four games where the teams below them started catching them up, that would change the dynamic.
It looks, you know, Wigan have got Leeds this week. I know Sean after the game said he was going to wait and see what happened in respect to O'Loughlin.
Just a quick illness, George Williams as well.
He's got five to six weeks.
Yeah. So why did he travel to Denver then? Because the Wigan doctors, the England doctors as well.
No,
his
knee
there?
Blew up on the flight. He thought he'd taken a knock in the Castleford game. He was okay to get on the flight. When he got off at the other end, his knee was swollen,
and they
sent him for a scan as soon as he got to Denver, and they said it's worse than we thought.
Right. Right, I see.
And I think they offered him the chance to come straight back, but he stayed in the England camp.
Right.
Let's have a look what's happening on social media.
Just back on the internationals, just to finish that off. Jimmy says he would like to give a big rap to Andrew Ross and the fellow commentators for the very positive comments regarding the representative rugby during the Pacific Tests. Not all Aussies are anti the international game, just the ones at the top, sadly. Steve says Tonga and Samoa was the best game of the weekend. Philip says the State of Origin gives Australia three test match type games. They then pick 17 out of the 34 on show. Yorkshire Lancashire is a serious pre-international selection? Question mark. No. Dead concept.
No. Mid-season tests like we've just had in Denver are exactly what we need. And the England Knights going to PNG. And forget about Yorkshire and Lancashire. It brings us
absolutely nothing.
Works in cricket because there's a history to it. But
you got the championship. And there's no one there.
Lancashire doesn't exist.
One day, it's just a boot. And again, why? What is Yorkshire Lancashire will sell out every year at Headingley, and the people that go will never. I would say 80% of them will never watch another game all season. Why do they go? Because it's a great atmosphere. They want to go get boozed up, sit out in the sun, shout and carry on. It's darts outside. Darts. That's what it is. It's darts outside.
News from Germany from Simon. This weekend the Steinen Bundesliga starts, featuring four teams based in northwest Germany. Excellent. It's always the northwest. Always the northwest. Nick says on York, he's heard an interview with their chairman, very impressive, clear vision for the future and a strategy, not just moaning about it being somebody else's fault.
Yeah, that they have got an idea of where they want to be and how they're going to get there. Not all of it is around finance and the players that they buy. In fact, their best player is going to St Helens next year. So, but what they have got is an idea of who the market is that they can aim at. So they've targeted the business people of North Yorkshire. And when they play teams like Toronto and Bradford, they can sell that as an event. And they've done that brilliantly. But the spin-offs is they keep coming back.
It can be done. That young players from York get to go to Super League because that helps them say, look, you can come and play here.
Absolutely.
Play rugby,
they've got,
and the Super League are watching.
They've got a great relationship with Hull KR that actually works. It's one of those dual-reg things that actually does work. They're having a new stadium built, but that's all because there's a vision for where they want the club to be.
Ian counted the crowd yesterday at Wakefield. He thinks there are about 100 to 150 witness spectators. That might have been in the first 20 minutes, which were awful. I don't blame any witness fans for not going.
You just can't. Yeah, but you can't rely on away support.
No.
And you never
no
should.
Chance.
Wrong.
No
doing
chance.
It wrong.
Yeah.
Well, that
no
should
chance.
Be a bonus if you get 500 turn up. Great.
Well done to the witness fans who turned up.
Yeah. No. Yeah. And that's not a knock on them. Yeah.
What was the crowd at Wakefield yesterday?
Was it 4.5?
4.5.
I should know. I wrote it down.
So again, you know, lovely Sunday afternoon, 3 o'clock kickoff, and still not getting.
And they only get him on.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. And so again,
got the football in the bar, so there's no excuses.
Yeah. Exactly.
Got,
you know,
529 more than they got at Oddsall.
Yeah. You know. So you know, Michael Carty. What more can Carty do? What can the side do? And the coach Chester. You know, great afternoon out from there, no other games on, and he can't even get the 6,000 what he's looking for. Come on, Wakefield fans, what more do you want?
Paul says, coming up at CAS July the 8th, not just a double header, no, forget that, triple header. PDRL CAS versus Leeds, Super League CAS versus Leeds, Women's Super League CAS versus Leeds, triple header.
It's what you want.
It's a nice day, like it is.
It's what you want.
Put it's a few exactly cheap on, there'll be people there all day, won't they?
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah. You know. Yeah. Mm.
Tony says, with the weather like it is in Toronto, will they have block fixtures like they did this season, next season? Would the Super League clubs approve of this?
It's all up for grabs. And this is, again, we wait until it's almost upon us before we try and decide these things. This could have been planned 2 or 3 years ago.
They have a dome in Toronto like they do in the NFL.
The Astrodome, yes.
they've got a dome.
Yeah, the Astrodome, yeah. I think it's still there.
So they could play in the dome.
That'd
be interesting, wouldn't it? Playing inside.
I mean, it's a bit big. It's a bit big.
Yeah, well, hey, if they want to be part of them, I have to do it.
Think big.
Or whatever it's called. Someone will tell us. Maybe it's not called the Astrodome. Someone will tell us.
Nicholas will tell us.
Lots of Wigan fans. Pete, or Woody rather, says Wigan have been light years ahead of for years in running a rugby league club. Now it's different and they have competition from the likes of Hull, Wire, Castlewood. The dynamic of the league is changing. Andrew thinks it'll be either Hull or Wigan who drop out of the top four. Derek says, hi guys, just tuning into external factors. If he's in Afghanistan, he's probably... Did you see Bozza earlier today? I, for one, think Sean Weir will be a loss to the game of rugby league. However, Scotland Rugby Union will benefit.
We'll do a sweepstake. How long do you think he'll be there for?
A year.
Yeah, I think he might do the Six Nations,
Max.
And then he'll be.
But he won't be sued by rugby union, because at times it's crap, isn't it? Simple as that.
Hang on. At times.
I think as well it's a game you really appreciate if you've played it. Because I think there are nuances to it.
I coached it myself for 2 years at Redcar.
The forwards is a dark art.
Oh, yeah,
I'm not sure. I mean, I can see Sean doing personal development with players, making them mentally tougher, but I can't see him doing anything on the tactical front, drop your arm in a scrum
when I was coaching for 2 years, you know, with the rooks and mauls and the line outs of the scrummage, and I didn't have a clue. All I did was gone and better with the skills and gotten fitter. That's all I did. It's part of everything else. So then the second year I was in charge, I brought a forwards coach in who did all that. But as far as the technical side, didn't have a clue.
Delegation. Yeah. You stand it on, did you?
Yeah.
Delegation.
Yeah.
The dark art of rugby union, of course, is what their media bullshine is to describe cheating. Don't forget, this is a cud who had the bloke with the blood capsule.
I played rugby union only for a couple of times in the old Vets League. And you put your hand anywhere near the ball, and the ref's like, "Oh, you number one, get your hand off that button."
There's 28 people in this room. Listen, you can have a fingernail on a fingertip, just literally offside. Oh, yeah, it's pathetic.
So was it 67 penalties for scrum offences? Go figure
that. What position did you play in rugby union? Open side?
Yeah, that one.
Open side.
It's the Sky Dome, not the Astrodome. The Astrodome, Houston.
Flanker, possibly misheard.
We would have played. Flanker. You've got to be mobile. A bit open side.
Because you're not a medium wave.
They're uncontested scrums, though. I wasn't big enough.
Elsewhere in the exciting world of social media, apart from that thing, Robert says, thought the Catalans were pathetic on Wednesday. I've heard this as well from other Leeds fans. Pretending to be injured, and they really spoiled the game. It's playing more like football. It was a disgrace. You were there.
Go on then, Phil. Was it a disgrace?
Well, it wasn't time-wasting because they kept stopping the clock. It's certainly... I was sat right next to Steve McNamara and Alex Chan, who is one of the most charming people involved in rugby league. It wasn't an instruction that went out from the Castellan bench to time-waste. Whatever went on the field was the choice of the players to do that. From their point of view, they needed to win. They did everything they could to win. They broke the game up.
When England are 1-0 up against Brazil, and they're putting it in the corner flag. Yeah.
The other thing as well is every sympathy for the referee, because the mandate now is if there is anyone who has anything like a head injury, you have to stop the play. The only thing I would say is that if people are going down claiming head injury, they should go off for an HIA, irrespective of whether they need it or not.
Great point. Paul Cook has said this to me.
That would just stop them doing it.
If you go down and the physio has to come on, you have to leave the field, even if it's for one set or two sets.
Well, even if it's for 15 minutes, because it totally disrupts your substitution plan. The coach will then be saying, whatever you do.
Don't go down.
And you've got to get that balance between, we went too long with people staying on the field when they shouldn't have done.
Yeah.
So you have to get that balance. If somebody's, clearly knocked out, you have to stop the play, get them all the attention they need. But if people are in situations where it looks... I mean, Tony Gigo is Marmite. He is an unbelievably talented player. Legend. He can do some great stuff on that field. He is one talented player. But the chip through that he did and then fell over, and wanted attention because he was trying to milk a penalty. That's he's decided to do that. That's part of his game. And referees need to look at that and say, right, Tony, you need to go off for 15 minutes because obviously you've got...
I think the time has come. It's like the old laying down at the dropout. You're a yard off the line, mate. Get your teammates to drag behind the line. Yeah,
exactly.
Stay there
and it's not a head injury, it's cramp. Right, well, we're playing on.
You're playing on, yeah.
But no, I think they did everything they could to win that game.
By the way,
they weren't time wasting.
Was Fuad Yahar's tackle?
Well, astonishing!
What an effort!
I wanted the game, but I heard it on radio.
And the other thing about that as well is, had Tom Briscoe scored, and it was a most amazing tackle, and he just had to slightly check himself to catch the ball, and Yahar came from nowhere and cleaned him out and did the right thing as well, laid on to get his defence back and took the sin bin in for the team. So he did what he had to do. But had Tom Briscoe scored, had Leeds won 29-28, had everybody been saying what a great performance coming from behind to win it in the last minute, Leeds wouldn't be in crisis. It's very fine margins.
It is very fine margins, Phil, but I want to ask you this, and this is a genuine question. I don't think the Dragons, who were 6-0 up after Leeds dropped it twice in the opening set, for 40 minutes, they might as well have gone home.
But what they did have was a huge bench that made a massive impact.
My point being is, it's all right, Brian McDermott said, I thought he played really well in the first half. You might have played okay.
Catalan couldn't have played any worse.
Yeah.
And I think that tempers it. And I'm not picking on Leeds because I know they had. But I'm with you. You look, Catalan didn't have too many top line players.
But their second half was they had Sam Moa missing through suspension. So, but
that's the only thing I don't get with Brian saying, well, we're not far away.
I don't think
if they'd have turned up and played like they did in the second half, you'd have got destroyed.
I think Leeds played really well in the first half. I think that's it. And it's fine margins at the moment with too many young people in the team. And you can't counter the likes of a Kenny Edwards coming off the bench when he's running at people like Harry Newman. It's all part of his learning curve.
I'll say what I said last week. The Dragons struggling. Go out and get drink water just to fill it, just to plug a gap. Mm. They go out and buy
but
Kenny Edwards. Luke Briscoe on loan from Featherstone.
They crossed people off
Briscoe, by the way, played really well on. This is not a slur on him. He was fantastic.
And he might be back on Thursday
the problem is, Phil, that's where Leeds are shopping. They're shopping in the Championship.
But that's all they've got to spend. They're up to the salary cap.
Keith Galloway retired. How can they be up to salary cap?
They are because they've rewarded some of the younger players in the squad. They are.
No, that's last year. At the moment. Last season.
No, at the moment, they are up to the salary cap.
Where's Galloway's money going then?
I suspect that there are other people that have got that money, that people who have re-signed this year.
Have they done any re-signing?
Yeah, absolutely.
Will that be with effect from next season?
No, that next season when some people like Carl Ablett move on, they'll have the chance to go out and
Carl Ablett
spend.
Going, we understand, to Australia?
Oh, we were asked about Ryan Hall. Has he signed a new contract or not?
No.
We don't know.
Why? Is he the next one out?
I'll tell you what, well, Ryan Hall, you give him the right service. Boy, oh boy, wasn't that a try for England? But he's not getting the service at Leeds, is he? Exactly, but I'll tell you what, he can still score tries, can't he? What an absolute beauty.
He might as well be playing rugby union where he won't get a touch. You know, he didn't get one at Leeds.
He might as well get double the amount of money for half the amount of money.
So is rugby union in Sissimo?
They have been in the past. I still think there would be an interest in him. I don't know whether the NRL, obviously he is an absolute top quality finisher, but he is 31. I don't know whether the NRL are in the market for players of that age, but certainly you could see him rugby union club. Absolutely, yeah, he can.
I tell you what,
10 years.
I tell you what, he can still play, Ryan. I would imagine if NRL clubs are interested, they would certainly for a 2-year deal.
If he does leave, I just hope he stays in.
It'd be a massive loss to us if he leaves.
It'd be a massive loss to the sport if he didn't stay within rugby.
No, if he stays in rugby league, though, but for us as a club, it would be absolutely massive.
Interesting times.
Tracy, big fan of the show, and Martin says Phil's been very diplomatic on the Dragons. Martin says to a version disgraceful.
I'm not sure.
Fleming French.
He said he didn't waste any time.
No, the clock. It was a 2-hour game because the referee stepped
Leeds
off.
They
broke the play up, but.
Yeah, Leeds would have done the same.
Yeah, if Leeds had been 25-24 ahead going into the last 5 minutes and hadn't dropped the kickoff, they may well have employed similar tactics. Leeds have been known to kick to touch quite a lot to wind clocks down and see games out. So
I'm not having it. Anyway, the match disciplinary panel this week obviously thought, sod it, we'll have a week off because no one's been banned apart from Tom Gilmore's got a caution for touching the referee. I didn't see that yesterday. As ever, when I go through games.
I wasn't there, so I didn't see it, but isn't any offence of touching a referee a ban? Haven't we had some players?
If you're doing that in our day, you'd have got 8 games.
I want to have a look at the disciplinary side of the game because I've seen 3 incidents this week. One of them, I think, is just being brought up by Andrew. I saw Greg Bird's tackle on Wednesday, which was downright dangerous. I then saw Matt Parcell get penalised for a tip tackle that wouldn't have hurt the player if he'd have then jumped up and down on his head. He still wouldn't have been. It was by the letter of the law, it was a tip tackle. Never going to get hurt. Birds, something could have happened. Both get simbin. Okay, I can live with that. But I think there's too much area there. Maybe Bird should have been a red card, and if that's a yellow.
What did he do, Bird?
He picked the guy up, lost control, and it was a poor tackle, slammed him into the floor.
Well, Mark, as I've said before, until we start punishing these
on,
and giving them big games.
But it's not even been cited.
No, but where I can accept Parcell getting simbined, if that's the rule, right, that's the rule. What I'm not prepared to accept is what happened at the Jungle on Friday when our very own Jai Hitchcock got taken out by Willie Arsenal. I'm willing to say Willie Arsenault might have got bumped and therefore wasn't fully in control of his own actions.
He took Hitchcock's out in the air, who's leaping 4 feet, 5 feet off the floor, lands flat on his back, goes off. I don't know what his injury is. I don't know if he'll be playing this week. In rugby union, you touch anyone in the air, you're off.
You're off.
10 minutes, get off. And I genuinely think we need to, unless your hand's on the ball, you are deemed to be fouling. Let him catch it. Let's cut it out, because for the sake of an extra millisecond, he could have landed on his head. And that it wasn't, I'm not saying it was foul play by Willie Ice. I would say there was mitigating circumstances, but the rule has got to be, if you're not going to catch the ball,
leave it. I think it was New Zealand and France just week before last, exactly the same, and the French guy went to the New Zealand and got sent off straight away. That's what we've got to do.
That's what's going to happen.
Correct.
If we're going to go with the Parcell foul was not in the same league as Bird's, but they both got the same punishment.
Mm.
And yet something I thought was far worse than Parcell's gets unpunished.
Mm.
And that's the inconsistency for me. Mm. You know, Hitchcock, he genuinely could have got badly hurt.
Why hasn't it come up in the aftermatch review panel?
He's
not injured, then it'll be all right.
Well, yeah, but he didn't do it on purpose. It was an accident. It doesn't matter.
Correct.
It doesn't matter.
It goes back to the cannonball tackles that we spoke about, 3 or 4 weeks ago, that players are being yellow carded because the referee can see that there is something there that isn't quite right. But because there isn't physical contact, they can't be banned.
Yeah.
No, they can be banned.
Yeah.
Just
deal with it. Prevention's the cure. It won't happen, so you'll get two. Do it again. It's four. Correct, do it again. It's 3 months.
Prevention's the cure, Mark. Simple as that. It is.
And you don't.
An annoying side about watching the game.
There is something in the sport called dangerous contact.
Yeah.
That's what you can be cited under. It doesn't have to be that you've physically made contact. But there are half a dozen people this week that have made a dangerous contact but not been punished.
We were at the PDRL. Training. I'm going back to it, right? But there's a perfect example here, because Barry McDermott, and there were two others. One of them, young, small lad. He's only about 4 foot tall. And we were doing like we did on Saturday, where you had to get the ball and you got tackled and you got to the ground and everything. And the young kid obviously is half the size of Barry, but his action, his get on the floor, is to like crouch down. And Barry grabbed him, and I went, Barry, you just like basically just got him in a crusher tackle completely accidentally, and he like laughed and went, oh yeah. And that's how easy it can happen. Didn't do it on purpose, but it happened. I just think we've got to take out this no one's hurt or
agree.
On purpose. Mm,
prevention's a cure. This is what's happening. Simple as that.
The disciplinary goes online, so you can see all of these players have had a caution for dangerous contact.
Yeah.
No, they need a ban for dangerous contact by very virtue of the word dangerous.
Correct.
Yeah.
You can't not penalise it if you've spotted it.
You know, look, there's Bird, Edwards, Cuthbertson, all from the same game there. There's Ice and Cup, same game. It's almost like, well, nothing's happened, we'll leave it. And I don't. It needs to stop. It's not a big issue until someone gets badly injured.
Somebody's going to get badly hurt. We know what happened in Australia a couple of years ago, don't we? The kid felt Newcastle, was it?
Alex McKinnon, with
a Melbourne stop. Something's going to happen. It is. Mm. You mark my words, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But as I say, prevention's the cure. So, as Phil just mentioned there, it's dangerous contact. So, there you go then. That is why they need suspending. And if the players know that if they do that sort of thing, they're going to get 2 matches, you mentioned, 4 matches, then 6 matches, it'll stop it.
Some stop it.
Of course it will.
Of course it will. They will. Yeah, of course it will.
What about Isaac Luke standing on people's helmets? What's it all about?
Oh, the Americans love that. The feedback, again, we've been getting is that they cannot believe that that is, you know, an acceptable part of the game. And, you know,
you're not telling them it isn't.
Well, but what punishment was he given? He gave away a penalty. But they cannot believe with the game that they see where everybody's wearing pads and helmets and gloves and, you know, you blow on somebody and there's a timeout, that someone can deliberately stand on someone's hand. There's a bit of pushing and shoving and then the game goes on. He should have been simbing at the very least.
I'll tell you why nowadays, because it was pretty regular that, but one thing for sure, if he did stand on somebody's hand and they played the ball, he got belted.
I suspect, no two ways about it.
Oh, yeah.
I suspect that is his last...
They got chased and they got belted.
He's captained his team, but I think that'll be the last time he plays for New Zealand. And I think he knew that as well, that Michael Maguire needed him to fill in for this test because of the players that are away. But I don't think he'll play when they come over here. So he certainly left his mark.
Yeah.
Terry's in the conspiracy theory camp. We love a good conspiracy theory in this programme. He says Willie Ice didn't get seen because Sam Tompkins didn't see it.
Did you just like that camera? That was the quote of the weekend. Where Phil Wilkinson asked Daryl after the game, because Tompkins had a chance to win it with a drop, and he said, "Were you worried that Tompkins were going to win the game?" He went, "He said no, but I worried when Tompkins sent off Matt Cook for the tackle." He said he was the only one in the ground that saw it. I thought it was quite good. And he just said it. He didn't even like go back to it. He didn't, you know. He said, "Oh, I'm joking." He actually clearly meant it. So that was quite funny. Anything else?
Good old Sam. Yeah, plenty of stuff, of course. Neil wants to praise London for last week. The under-19s beat Leeds. Someone tweeted us that about earlier. Hashtag Leeds in crisis. Don't forget to buy the T-shirt. shop.propersport.uk, I think it is. Another 50-plus points in the league. Five players re-signed that have come through the academy. Tough year this year with loss of Andrew Henderson and some of the regular first teams. But the high-scoring team in the league, some of them shot of the middle eight, would have taken that at the start of the season.
Yeah, fair dues.
Well done, Danny Ward.
Yeah.
What did Danny Ward tweet last night about people saying that he shouldn't watch the international game because they didn't play the ball correctly or something? No one plays the ball correctly. Stephen says, I wonder what Gary Schofield thinks of Bill Tupou for Wakefield. I think he should be in the dream team come the end of the season because he's a class player.
Yeah, he's been what he is, Tupou. He's been consistent week in and week out, hasn't he? And if you give him up, one thing for sure with Tupou is you give him opportunities, he's going to score your tries, he's going to put you in good field position, you know, to follow that up and score the try. So he's a consistent player for Wakefield, is Tupou, without a doubt.
Cathy says, when is someone going to bring Wigan into line? Well, now he runs Super League, not going to, are they? Once again, they try taking the limelight by releasing their coach news. The days we should be focusing on the international victory. They've been great for timing press releases.
I think that was Scotland Rugby months. Union, to be fair. I don't think we can blame Wigan for that.
Bloody Rugby Union.
I'll tell you what's all right, the way he's getting ripped in. Tonight, he won't be able to go to Wigan. He won't be going to Wolves. He certainly won't be going to Featherstone.
I like Featherstone. I'm looking forward to them being in the Super League.
What about Hull? What about Hull? Do you like Hull?
I like all the teams back from Leeds.
Can you get us the fixtures? No, that goes with the territory. Can you get us the fixtures for Toulouse and Featherstone, Halifax, London and Lee? So we can see what they're...
I'll go on to the Rugby League website.
But can you get us the fixtures?
Well, I'll try.
He will.
I'll try.
No, I'm joking.
We're excited about this.
Because I think the running will, as Mark said, will be determined by which of the big teams have still got each other to play.
And, of course, you'll be able to see it live and exclusive nowhere.
I've just worked out, actually, why he was so nasty to me at the weekend, Shawright, because I was playing for Leeds, Gary. That's what it is.
It's that blue... For Warwick, soon as the blue and amber filters through his eyes.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
Because Primrose and Blue's completely different, whatever it is. He's getting away kit for the next time Leeds play Warrington. They need a different kit.
Alright, okay.
I'm not blaming you, it's not your fault.
Surprise.
Oh, yeah, I can win a competition through it. I could walk out with the Catalan Dragons as one of the mascots at the semi finals, I enter. Championship fixtures. Featherstone Rovers. We're going to the big split for the final time.
Yeah, ever. We need to know it.
Feff have Rochdale at home this week.
Which they'll win.
On the 1st of July, rather. And is that this week?
Yeah, Sunday.
Sunday, the legend's birthday.
There you go. Away at Halifax the week after.
That's a big one.
Away at Swinton. Home to London. And then away at Toronto.
That's the last game of the season.
Get your visa sorted, lads.
Tough running.
Three out of five.
So, Matt, you've got the league tables there. What is the for and against like with these sides? Forget about Toronto because they're in there. What's the for and against with the other sides?
London are plus 387. They've got the best points difference in the league.
Have they?
Yeah.
Right.
Even better than Toronto.
Have they?
Yeah, they have. Jeez.
Halifax have got the worst.
Yeah.
Right.
Featherstone have got plus 270. Lee at plus 269.
So, I take it all come down to points difference, couldn't it? Without a doubt.
Could, yeah.
So what, Halifax have got the worst of these, we say? Yeah,
we'll go right. on. We'll crack on through these fixtures.
I think it's fascinating.
Halifax away at Barrow, who might have some players, they might not. Then they are at home to Fev, as we mentioned. That game of the 8th, that's going to be a cracker. Then the week after, they are away at London. Another one.
Game, yeah.
And then on the 21st of July, I don't know, because the...
Why didn't you just do it on the other way?
Yeah.
You broke the internet.
I've broken the... Well, we'll be for sure for Halifax. Well, certainly Scott Murnell, he likes playing Featherstone, so normally it's Scott Murnell v Featherstone, isn't it? He normally destroys them.
Apparently had another good game yesterday as well.
Yeah, he's just leading them around the park, isn't he? Organising and creating.
So it is getting interesting. Very much interesting. Let's see, we'll go through these, actually, and see
Halifax have Toulouse at home and then Rochdale at home. So that's that 3 weeks where they've got Fev, London and Toulouse.
So they're massive games.
Yeah, yeah.
And with the best one in the world, can Halifax win all those? On a good run.
Well,
they
did. They did last year, didn't they? Yeah. They treated every game as a cup tie and won each week and made it into the four.
Yeah. Who else did? What do we want to lose next?
Go on then.
Sheffield away, London at home, Barrow away, the Halifax game away, and then Dewsbury at home.
So they've got a run in that isn't as demanding as the other ones.
So if you look
what about Lee?
Lee.
I think they've got Toronto and then, other games that they can win.
Batley away, Rochdale away, Swinton at home, and Sheffield at home. So
yeah.
If they don't get 10 points,
they're happy enough. Aren't they? Yeah, even Toronto.
Tell you what,
the point is for Lee. The point is not just the best running, but how many points can they rattle up? You know, for the points difference.
And what about London? Did we do London?
Well, they've obviously got a few biggies there because they appeared a couple of times there, didn't they?
So Feversham and London, it's but Halifax as well. You can say, can't they? Pretty tough.
Yeah, they've got a similar run. Batley away, then London away, Halifax at home. Oh, Toulouse away, sorry. Halifax at home, Featherstone away, and Barrow away.
That is a tough
run. Yeah, yeah.
That is a tough all running. I think Lee will get in at the expense of Halifax.
Yeah, maybe
a point difference. Do you think Featherstone will hang in there?
Yeah, I think they will. Mind you, I guess if Halifax beat Featherstone, that all of a sudden.
Hold on, if Scott Morrell beats Featherstone.
Yeah, all right. Yeah.
Glenn,
apparently Halifax have asked to play the game at Blackpool just to make sure they win
on the beach anyway. Glenn said they don't think Lee will lose another game after this Saturday, but if they do lose any game after next week, they will still make the top four. So Glenn is confident that Lee.
Do you know what as well? Let's hope there's no shenanigans again with Toronto and Lee.
Have we heard if anything's happened from
nothing's been done. You know, with all these shenanigans off the field and this sort of thing. So you know. Whatever's happened, you know, between, you know, Paul Rowley and whatever, and the board and all this sort of thing. Listen, just be grown men. Have respect for each other. And I say, get ripped in on the pitch for 80 minutes. That's what rugby league's all about. But come on, off the field, be professional. Be respectful, you know, to each other from there. And I say, whatever happens, wish each other all the best on there. Do what you have to do on the field. But off the field, just be professional. And let rugby league be the winner. That's all we can ask, isn't it? Let rugby league be the winner,
and let's hope that Toronto get a 10,000 crowd, because it's been built up over there. So you've really got to come to this game because there's a bit of ill feeling. I'm all for building it up that way. Just don't have it on the field.
Yeah, yeah, and they say off the field as well. Phil, you know what I mean?
Overall,
both on and off the field, let rugby league be the winner.
Well, our great friend and mentor Harry Jepson wouldn't have had it any other way. No matter what goes on the field, there has to be respect off the field.
Correct.
We should praise the NRL for once. What was the phrase you used last week, Phil, when we were talking about PDRL and Women's Rugby League and all this and that and the other? You say it's a game, Rugby League, a game for everyone.
And they
shot down the idiotic Neanderthals on social media.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who were very upset that at the end of the Women's Origin game, which had a decent attendance.
Fantastic game.
Was on the telly, that they showed a picture of two of the players kissing after the match, and people got very upset about this. Rugby League's a game for everyone, apart from homophobes and bigots and racists and tossers in general.
Fair play. It was interesting as well that the guy, I forget who it was, made the comment, one of the powers that be, said Women's Rugby League is the biggest growth area in that sport.
Yeah, yeah.
In Australia?
Yeah.
Oh, mate, it's massive.
Yeah, well, he's just saying it's the biggest growth
area. And the State of Origin game, I saw the highlights.
Mate, it's massive.
What standard?
Also as well, another thing with Rugby League out there as well is the Tux Rugby. Oh, boy, oh, boy. The Tux rugby as well is absolutely huge. Well, Australia's a culture where, you know, everybody's just sport mad. Everybody's at the fitness fights, you know, and this sort of thing. Obviously, they have the weather and the conditions. But,
well, we're going out after this, aren't we?
But Tux rugby, I tell you, me and Matt Wilson, the stick what you give us this weekend, we won't be touching you. We'll be ripping in, I'll tell you. We'll be belting you.
I don't think we gave you any stick.
We'll be belting you. Don't worry about
none of it undeserved.
Back to the commentary again.
None of it undeserved.
We'll be ripping in.
I think Gary was defending in the Warrington attacking line.
It was Rhiannon Marshall, who was my previous favourite player before Jason.
She was good again yesterday.
It's the Challenge Cup quarterfinals this week for the women on Sunday. Barrow York, Castleford Saints, and Leeds versus the Army kicking off at 2. Featherstone Wigan at 5. I'm assuming Featherstone are playing after the men's game, and I think they are, in fact. So make sure you get down to those. Challenge Shield, Brighouse, Hull Wakefield looking to make another win over Hull. Stanningly Lee Miners Rangers and Widnes versus Bradford. Good luck to Widnes, because they're going to have it hard there, because as seen them a couple of weeks ago and we spoke to people involved, and they've got a lot of players who've never played rugby league before this season coming up against the treble winners from last season. So
I saw Bradford yesterday. They're a very well organised team, even though slightly down on numbers, but they're playing in such heat yesterday afternoon. Both Leeds and Bradford put on a fantastic game.
I'm surprised they didn't have a water break yesterday at Bellevue, after 20 minutes, because it was very hot.
If only somebody could...
Were they good yesterday, Trinity?
They were alright.
Second half, a bit of a concern.
It took a while for them to get going, and then Tom Johnston did one of his tries from long distance, beat about half the witness. It was like watching...
It's a good job, actually, they won, isn't it, with hindsight? Oh, yeah. They'd have been right in the mix again for the bottom four.
Yeah, listen, fellas, Wakefield never...
There would have been 2 points on the
board. Matt, but Wakefield weren't going to lose to witness. You know, under Dennis, and same under, with Francis, of what we've seen. You know, they'll still play with that desire and infuse that commitment, but they've no quality,
Do you reckon the Leeds PDRL team could beat witness on current form?
I think the worry for witness is, again, like we said about Wigan, is there's three or four of their players that are now rumoured to be moving.
We've been asked about this as well. Someone asked if we should get James Rule on the show to talk about witness, but apparently players being shopped around. But people know, the listeners know, they're saying, what about these rumours about these players leaving? Rhys Hanbury, Patrick Arvan, the two names high on
the
list.
Where are they reported to be going?
I don't know, anywhere. Hull KR, apparently, because everyone's going to Hull KR.
Yeah.
Them and Matty Smith everyone's still
going,
on the way.
But no one ever goes.
No.
well, you played Saturday Legend. You might be on there.
Well, listen, I'll give it a
feeling you won't be. I must admit,
I had a good message from a chairman over the weekend, and he heard.
Hold on.
He heard I got the man of the match, and he said, Scully.
But you didn't.
Well, he heard the chairman himself of the Super League club. No. He said, me the
you're
message.
Lying, you didn't get the man of the, and you were sulky. Yeah.
Oh, no, listen, I'm only telling you the message I got.
Pathetic.
I got a message from a chairman from a Super League club saying, you played well yesterday. I heard you got the man of the match. I'm thinking I'm making you an offer. So I'm in negotiations.
Don't worry about that. To get the man of the match award.
I can't tell you which club because the Bupro won't if I say that. The Bupro.
To get the man of the match award, though, you've got to be the man of the match, which is where that argument falls down.
I don't want to see.
Do you agree with the man of Madison?
Absolutely nowhere near.
Well, what about the organisation I brought? What about the shape? I'm not talking about my shape, I'm talking about the shape I kept to the side.
They just picked the people who scored right.
Six out of ten off Phil Kaplan.
I was speaking to a high ranking club official at a certain Super League club, yes, I don't want to name who it is. Obviously, because Scully's not named it either. But Michael Carter said he's not signing.
Well, by the way, I'll give the exclusivity. It was Michael Carter. Was
we haven't guessed.
There we go. So there. And I said to him, my exact words to Michael were, if Matty Asher's played outside me, you get 25 tries a season.
You do realise that the offer he was making you.
If you want Matty Asher to score 25 tries a season, Michael, I'm available. I'm pretty cheap.
The offer he was making was shop assistant in the riding centre.
Have you seen what Tom Maguire's done in the bottom corner?
How tight's that?
Has he got bumped off, Matt Wilson?
Yeah.
Why did you? It was the biggest man on the field. Why don't you listen to the legend? Keep away from them big guys.
Well, what are you supposed to do?
Get out of the way.
I'd have gone for the ball.
I'm going to kill Maguire.
Listen, my grandson will have a word with you. Mark, I'm going to say a word. My granddad always says, don't do any tackling.
You slowed him down. The other guys came in and...
I tried to get round his legs, but I couldn't get down low enough. My back wouldn't let me go down anymore.
Did it hurt?
No, not at all. I'll tell you what hurt more. Daft as it sounds, when the guy who scored the first try, I tried to ankle tap him and I banged my head on the floor. That seriously did hurt.
That is blame.
Yeah. But Adam Hills is fine, you'll be pleased to know. Great. He has tweeted today that he's okay.
Yeah, I think he learned his tackling technique from Richie Myler the week before. That was the concern. Yeah. There you go. So, put something else on top. Put Scully's pass on the far try. That was good. Yeah. You can see the whole game on Facebook. We're talking about witness. Yeah, I think Wakefield just midway through the second half thought, and I don't want to say, I don't know for sure they did, but. Game over. It's really hot.
Of course, they're going to take the foot off the gas because at 22-0 up at half time. You know yourself, you've won the game, and it's quite simple. We're never going to come back into it, will they? Because again, they haven't got the quality.
Good day to be a winger. First four tries scored by the two wingers and the two centres from Wakefield. So whether that gives you a clue to witness, you tend to feel sorry for the young players, don't you?
Who have they got this week, Wakefield? Saint Helens, so that's a test for them now, isn't it? You know, if you've got five games left, so if they are looking, you know, to maybe knock on the door of the top four, well, they're only 2 points, well, 6 points behind, aren't they? Castleford, who have Cass got?
Catalan away.
Yeah.
No, so that's a test. Yeah, so they could maybe get themselves up there. So the last five games, again, it's that word consistency for Wakefield to get themselves knocking on the door.
They won, and you just worry about witness because, you know, I said this elsewhere yesterday, and I was questioned on my wording. I said, you know, you can accept injury. People get injured. Players get injured all the time. They've got all these young players who are learning their skill at a team at the bottom end of the table, which is always difficult to do because you're not in a winning side. But they were all let down, especially their coach and their teammates, by their captain being an idiot the week before. Mm. And that's all you can say. He was stupid to get sent off against Salford. And the presenter on the other station said to me, would you say that to his face? I said, no, I did it on social media like everyone else. He was stupid.
What did he get for that?
Two games.
Was that all he got? So,
but... Those, but anyway, the witness lads are trying, but
yeah, they're trying. But at the end of the day, listen, let's not put any spin on this. The rubbish.
Well,
are they going down?
Not far off. When you look at them teams in the championship from there, certainly the top four, they could struggle without a doubt.
Judging my social media, I'm not sure some witness fans wouldn't accept that.
Some.
Well, I would ask a question, right? If they went down.
They won't come back.
Well, I'm not saying they would, but wouldn't the hardcore of support just stay anyway and go watch them? Because it is the hardcore.
It is the hardcore.
But you'd also be winning more games, so I think, yes, they would. I don't.
In the Championship, they would still get 3,500, 4,000, because that's what winners
fans. I think the worry is, and again, it's too early to say because we don't know what the finishing positions will be, but there is a chance that the team that finishes bottom of Super League might have to go away to Toronto and away to Toulouse as part of the qualifiers.
Well, I would imagine
makes it even harder.
Well, I would imagine here now, when you look at the top six sides in the Championship, because any six can qualify, we know Toronto have, they will be, if they, the way witness are, they will be absolutely licking their lips and saying, yeah, we want witness.
Can I ask the question? Have the teams that are in the mix for the bottom four
got visas?
Advised to apply for visas for their players to attend or go to Canada? Because what happens if they turn around and go, well, actually, him and him haven't got visas, and Winders go, well, we aren't going then. We're not going then. We're not playing.
How are the qualifiers going to work? Will Toronto have a block of games in the qualifiers?
This is what I don't mean.
Because it might work the other way. We don't know how it's going to work the other way either.
What will happen there then? We'll have to forfeit the fixture and the 2 points.
It's a serious question.
I understand that. Yeah, of course it is.
Absolutely.
The Dewsbury chairman on last week who said, look, we applied months in advance and we still didn't have enough people weren't getting visas. This is a serious question that needs to be addressed.
Absolutely.
Has that happened? Have they been told you need to apply? Mm. You might never need them, but you need to do the work now and get it applied.
It's obviously easier to get a visa for some NFL players to come play in England for a game than it is to go to Canada for a game.
Mm. Possibly.
Elsewhere, Paul... on about Liam Watts' dad's letter in the League Express about his son not being picked for England by Scott Taylor. He skates that Taylor is not as good as Liam and Green at FC amongst others. I wonder why he's picked out Scott Taylor.
Well, because he got brought into the squad, didn't he? I think they're saying, why did he get brought in and not someone else? Well, Liam Watts is injured, isn't he?
If he'd have said, say, no disrespect to Chris Hill, but he's not had the best season, has he? If he said, why is Chris Hill in and not my son? Don't write to the League Express.
Yeah, it's bizarre.
I think the questioned the loyalty of Wayne Bennett to some of the players. I think everyone that he stuck with, including people like Jermaine McGilvery, did him proud for England. I think he justified the fact that he kept faith in some of those guys. The core of players that got him to the World Cup final performed for him again. I think he was justified in that.
It'd been interesting if Williams had been fit. Who would have missed out? Probably Jake Connor.
Yeah, Connor would have been snout.
So it's almost done him a favour, I think, him losing.
Yeah, I think playing Bateman back at hooker towards the end of the game, it's not something he would have done, I think, if Williams had been fit and available. But Bateman looked really good at hooker and obviously got his try from there as well. Nothing he can't
he's
do.
He's just actually a very good rugby league player.
He is.
No, Bateman.
Wherever you're playing.
But
he'll play on Thursday, whether he's got jet lag or not.
Bateman's like Colin. He used to be closer to the action. And do you know what now? I think for Radders, you know, he's got a big question now. Does he put Connor at one of the halfbacks and sacrifice? Or does he put him at loose forward, you know, because The way that he plays a game, the way that he wants to express himself, the maverick player, what he is, you know, he could be the main difference if, you know, Radders himself, if he grows the crystals and says, right, Jake Colin Allen's going to be my main go-to man, you know, from a creativity point of view. We know the individual brilliance, what he's got, Albert Kelly, the kicking game of Sneed, but I tell you what, now, I would be seriously looking at Jake Connell as a looks forward, because boy, oh boy, can he play, and for me, he could be the main difference of Hull finishing the top four or not in the position what he's going to play.
Okay. Gary says, look, lads, it won't work Toronto. Simple, what a waste of money. Well, it's not my money, it's David Argyle's money, so I don't care.
Yeah, let him spend it all.
You're right, it won't work because they only got 5,287 there for a match against. They knew they were going to win against a team that only bought 14 players. It's not going
to
work.
Let's give me a few quid. I'm happy to take it. Paul's after was at Kring, he asked if I was at Crimson All Blacks on Sunday. I was. So Wakefield's new stadium, there's like a couple of rusting posts just ready to have a stand built around. Us and Castle were having a longest time saying we're going to build a stadium without actually building it competition, and the winner gets in the Guinness Book of Records.
Can't you play in that big fridge they've built?
That big fridge, yeah.
The M62. How big is that?
Well, it's huge, isn't it?
Do you remember when Richard Wright was the chief executive of CAS on the diggers outside their new stadium? And I still haven't seen that new stadium yet, so...
Some nice plans.
So that's Cass, he's not going to be allowed in. Wakefield again, he's not allowed anyway, is he?
Leeds have just built a new multi-million-pound stadium in about 3 weeks.
They unveiled some nice plans again, though, this
you
week,
like
Cass.
Leeds? You hate Leeds?
Nah, I'm joking. I like Headingley. Haven't seen that new...
even more when Leeds are losing it.
That new roof above the north, it looks like it's going to be huge.
Hasn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, when we were playing on Saturday, did you want us to lose as Leeds?
No, I was neutral, wasn't I?
Did you want us to lose because Leeds were playing and we had the colours on?
No,
there was a rumour saying...
Yeah, you did.
There was a rumour saying he's back warranted on the handicap.
On the handicap, yeah.
Yeah.
I was glad. I put some oil on the kicking tee. That's why I leave them. We're just going to see the first team and the PDRL team not able to kick goals in a minute.
So. Whoa, the lad that missed the goals. He missed one at practice.
He's got some cracking tries.
He didn't miss one.
I tell you what.
Yeah, he should have kicked him though, man. They're just at side of the post, man.
All right.
What should be brought in from PDRL to Super League?
I don't like losing.
Clock doesn't stop after a try. You have to get on with it. Get on with the kick.
Go on, move on.
Elsewhere, people talking about visas. Well, we don't know what's going on with that. Peter says, Salford win away at Warrington on Friday. Looking forward to watching it live at the Halliwell Jones.
I'll see you there, Peter.
Jamie says, does Sky Sports ruin the game? No, they pay for it. They don't seem to do much advertising, and it's nearly always moved for other sport. Is it? A few months ago, it was moved due to a sport I'd never seen before, but what can only be described as tag. And that's Kabaddi. We love Kabaddi here at Proper Sport. They're trying to set up a team. Streaming like the NRL, that would help. Well, there is a streaming service for the rest of the world, isn't there? But streaming also doesn't bring in millions of pounds, what Sky give us.
Look at Scully's getting in trouble. Look at Scully's little face.
Took an interception.
Because he's just shown him on the Facebook getting an interception.
He's still pushing massively and shoving
outside, He elbowed me in the chest.
There's no video evidence of that. I haven't seen it. Look there, you manhandler. I wish you'd cracked you.
That should have been a penalty in possession.
He elbowed me in the chest.
If he cracked you, then I would have laughed.
You're my teammate on Saturday.
I thought you were going to crack him. Oh God, he's going to hit him here in a minute.
I'm trying to work out who walks in front of the camera during this, because the only people in that stand were us. But Tom is going to be doing some marvellous stuff with all the footage that was shot on the day, because there's interviews with loads of people before and after the game, and it's going to be a really good watch.
The only reason you got that interception is you're playing for Warrington when that ball comes.
He's like Gary Mercer in the old days. He's in the Warrington line. He's in a bib.
Hold on, me intercepting is called vision and awareness.
No, it's not. It's called
standing up. It's called
being blatantly.
Hold on.
And that's for his teammate.
Do you know when that tackle when you missed it, you got bumped off? Did it hurt? I hope it did. I hope it did.
I understand.
I'll tell you what, guy. Did you not notice the old 10 yards felt a long way, didn't it, in the second half? I have to say, I think if you'd have drawn a line on the pitch, I was offside on numerous occasions.
I was never onside. I'll tell you that for nothing.
You didn't make any tackles. He's not playing any part.
I was always about 20 yards from the referee and I kept shouting, I'm all right, sir. I'm all right.
Move on.
I mean, David says, our money, not Sky's money, and we can walk away. Yeah, but to who? There's no one lining up to...
And that's the thing.
I'm sure Ian Lenigan knows more about the TV negotiations than I do, but I watch telly and I see what's on there. Mm. And I don't see any channels queuing up to show Rugby League.
No.
Apart from ones who don't have a pot to pee in.
And there's this constant debate about we need to see more of the Championship. There isn't anybody coming in who's got the money to pay for the Championship.
I don't want to say this without it coming across the wrong way, but when you watch Super League, that is the elite in this country. When you watch the Women's Super League, they are the elite women in this country. When you watch the PDRL, they are the elite PDRL people in this country. I know there's only four teams, but you know when you watch those games, you're watching the best of the best. And I'm not saying that the Championship's a substandard product, but the attendances suggest that it's not a television product. Is it a streaming product? Yes.
If the Championship was the top six teams playing each other on a regular basis, yes. But it isn't. It's a divided league by virtue of the disbursements that have been given out before a ball was kicked.
Okay, right. I've got an interview with Gavin Willacy to... I will play that next week. Gavin, I apologise. Wrote the fantastic book, No Helmets Required. We will hear that next week. So, Gavin, if you're listening just for your interview, I will play it out next week. So next week we're going to give away a copy of the book, No Helmets Required.
And it's a brilliant book. It is a fantastic book.
I've got the book. I haven't read it yet. So we'll chat about that next week.
And you'll also realise that what we've done in Denver this weekend, it is typical of rugby league, that you think that this is something brave and new, and we've actually done it all before, but not very well.
Yeah. Eddie Waring out there with NBC or something.
Right, Gary, I just want to go back to our predictions last week.
I got two out of three.
When I said that Leeds were going to lose at home, you accused me of being biased, of being stupid. Have you got anything you want to say?
Move on.
Have you got anything you want to say? I think it sounds
If you want an apology, you can get lost. Move on.
Do you admit that you were wrong?
No.
Why not?
Because it was that great tackle from, who was it, Phil? Gizzo? Fouad Yaha on Briscoe, who could have won it. So, no. Not a chance.
Right. Moving swiftly on then.
Well, I'll tell you what then. Right,
No.
Hold on this week's predict, I bet you don't go for Leeds to beat Wigan.
Well, I'm not stupid, am I?
That's a bit. I'm not so sure about that. I'm not convinced.
Big mouth. Wigan Leeds, where are you going?
Well, I'm going for Wigan. Yeah. Yeah, we're going for Wigan,
Leeds. Milers back. Season turns.
Have you heard this?
Season turns around.
Reaction.
I'm going for Wigan by 10. Go on. Go on, Phil.
Leeds.
Marcus Milers back.
I'm tempted by the draw. Wigan in crisis.
Wigan need O'Loughlin to play.
Yeah, I was going to say, it depends on what happens from...
If he plays, then Wigan wins.
If O'Loughlin and Bateman are playing, obviously Williams won't be.
Hull witness. Don't want an answer, just want to know how many by.
Yeah, Hull by 34.
Lots. I don't do.
60?
I've got 36. Hull KR Huddersfield.
Interesting one, that, isn't it? Interesting, yeah.
Hull KR got a draw last week.
Yeah, and they'll be, they're in decent form, Huddersfield. From, do you know what? I'm going to go for Hull KR Rovers by 7.
Huddersfield big on the recruitment for next year. But yeah, I'm going to go for Hull KR very narrowly. Could be a drop goal, innit?
As I'm anti-Hull now, apparently. Giants.
Did I hear a rumour that Maguire might be playing this week?
Don't know if he'll play this week, and he's back in training.
I'm going to go Giants, just very close. St Helens Wakefield.
Ooh, could this be where Matty Ashes gets an hat-trick outside Scoey this Friday? Could this be?
What, hat-trick?
The only hat-trick you'll be getting at St Helens.
Hat-trick of Mars bars, yeah.
That's a bit harsh. Phil Caffin, how can you talk?
It's true.
How can you talk? You've got a jacket that's four times too big for you every time you go to St Helens with massive pockets.
Yeah.
It's
funny.
The grandkids love the cure.
I like chocolate.
He's not even going, mate. Turn up with that big crumby coat on.
Yeah.
34 sat there in his crumb,
I just hope all of the Mars bars melt.
Anyway,
I hope they all melt in your pocket.
Anyway, so, yeah, Matty Ashes might get his hat trick on Friday night, but I still got to go for St Helens to win. St Helens by 16.
I think Saints will win.
The Saints.
No, is this one of his bonkers predictions? This is his.
He's thinking about
prediction.
It.
Whenever you say that, Wakefield wins, I'll go for Wakefield.
I picked him last time.
We played golf on Friday.
Val's offered to buy Scoria Mars bar. Don't do it, Val.
Me mate, Michael.
Warrington, Salford.
There's only one winner here. Warrington, quite easily. Warrington, 28.
Yeah, I can't find any mitigating circumstances for Salford.
The Wolves.
Yeah. Wow. An interesting one. This is an interesting one.
Darryl
did say he's hoping to have as many as 5 players back this weekend.
Right. The character, what they showed then against Wigan, I'm going the Casford Tigers by 10.
Yep.
Castellan are in really good form at the moment. The shape's good. On a good run. I'm just going to go the Dragons.
Castleford.
I'm really torn here because the one thing that I thought casted well in the second half is their forwards really stood up and they're going to have to do that. I want to know who's coming back. I think if he gets a couple of big boys back, I don't know how Senny Lefebvre, I don't know how long he's got left out, but I think if you get one or two of them lads in, I think Cass, but...
I just think Cass will just move the ball about very, very quickly in the tackle count to move their big guys
Cass.
About.
I'm going to go for Cass.
Yeah, that's a good call.
But that's the game of the weekend, I think.
Yeah, it is.
But again, we've no Super League games on a Sunday.
No, we haven't.
No Super League games on a Sunday.
Never mind. It's your birthday anyway. You won't be going
Yeah,
anywhere.
Exactly.
No, I'm up in Whitehaven. I say that's where we are this weekend. So a big game for us. Big game for us.
So, you know, if you want to buy a Scoria drink, make sure it's at the official club bar.
I'll be down there for around about 12 o'clock. So I'll be waiting.
I'll be waiting.
And I'm sure you'll enjoy Coventry. The Bears look after you.
Yes. We are going to Wigan on Thursday Night Legend, aren't we?
Looking forward to that.
It's live on Proper Sport. Looking forward to getting stuck in there. Can Leeds bounce back? What is it, 60 feet on the spin now?
Yep.
And they've got Wigan and Castle.
No, look at you with a smile on your face. Look at him here. Look at him there.
It's good.
And you know what? And you gave him a 7, you only gave me a 6. Honestly,
wasn't that predictive?
You gave him a 7, but it got bumped off, never did no else.
But if it had been predicting skills...
I'm doing runarounds, creativity, playing with vision and awareness, and you'd give me 6.
But if it had been predictions...
And he's not a league supporter. Ridiculous, captain. You
would have got 4 if it had been based on predictions.
Do me a favour, honestly. Hey, also as well, did you have your peas on toast pre-match?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't like peas on toast.
Well, you should do that. You'd have played better with peas on toast. Mint sauce, Coleman's mint sauce, peas on sauce.
The way I played, I could have had a full breakfast at 8 p.m.
Well, to be honest with you, the way you played. I tell you what, though, we'll be for sure. We enjoyed that gallon, didn't we? Them pieces were lovely, and we enjoyed that gallon after, didn't we?
Yeah. We did. Next time we play Warrington, I am not tackling that big lad.
I've put the link on the Facebook so you can watch the game again and have some fun with it.
Yeah. All right, enjoy it and do us a favour, share it with your friends, let them know it's there. It is fantastic. See what you mean about the kit clash though, Rich. Yeah. We need to get a change strip.
And next time Leeds are at home, PDRL before the Widnes game.
Play
so
Wakefield.
Doubleheader.
Right, is it?
Yeah, doubleheader, come along.
I'll be fit. I've got a bad calf. What about you, Scott?
No, I've pulled my calf as well, but I can't with the Wakefield game. I'm taking customers to the Leeds game, so unfortunately I can't make that one in. But I'm available if there's a PDRL World Cup, I'm available for that. I'm available. I'm in training.
Warren, they're going to Australia, legend. You'll have to make a comeback.